guys. We got some work to do. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. By the way, how many of you enjoyed Hans? It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. There's a few people who have had some amazing results that were in his last class. Yeah, I heard a story yesterday. I was like, dang, it's incredible. All right. Where did you go? There you are. Thank you. Okay. I want to, Hans was talking about skills that are going to be really important, especially that was like the biggest trip ever, like industrial age to the information age to the machine age. Man, it is, we are so in that. Like, it's really crazy. Like, these fast food places are going to be laying a lot of people off because everything's going to be automated through machines. And even as, even as someone that runs companies, I mean, we do everything we can to get things automated. As much as processes, all the processes that you possibly can get automated are going to get automated, which does put people out of jobs. It's a reality. And the ones that you keep are the ones that have really good people skills and that are creative that and also are very dependable. These are high-value things to a company, for someone who runs a company. People who cause problems and frustrations and people who can't solve people problems, those are like, you got to go. You need to go find something else to do. So we're going to work really hard on a couple of things this afternoon. One is solving people problems. This is a very high-level skill and really important to have. Being able to have very tough conversations. How people move up in management is because they have the ability to solve and disarm people problems. Because anytime you have two individuals together anywhere in a room, there's going to be problems. There really is. Especially when people don't understand that there's different types of personalities and how to be able to work with those different types of personalities. So you already have, between First Steps and what you learned yesterday with GEMS, you already have, you're so much further ahead of so many people that are out there in the marketplace. I'm serious. You already are much more qualified than so many others that you're actually even working with, especially if you're implementing the things that we're talking about and you're taking GEMS and thinking, wow, how can I use that like in the doll making business, right? Of customizing, you know, clothing that fits the GEM of the kid who's got the doll. Like that, when you do things like that, that just sets you apart of everybody else. So there's three skill sets that we're going to work on this afternoon. We're going to break for dinner a little later, and then later on, Hans is going to come back, and he's going to be talking about some marketing and sales, especially online type stuff. He built a company online that has generated tens of millions of dollars continuously, and he is a very, very powerful marketer, and so he's going to share some very specific tips about that. He'll do about an hour, hour and a half. We'll see. That's what it was supposed to be this morning. It was 3 hours, so which was amazing. Every ounce of it was amazing. So we will see where we end with that. And then tomorrow morning is Toby Mathis. He's been here for about 2 years. He's been coming and participating with Dynasty. Our clients have loved him, so he's going to do a session totally different than what he's done in the past. So everything that Hans talked about, and then Toby will take it to a whole nother level. You'll be hearing about some tax stuff, tax breaks that your business, and if you don't have a business, you could start a little thing that's called a business for some great tax breaks. There's all kinds of ways to look like you're in business. People do it all the time just for the tax breaks, especially the more the government is just sucking money out of our veins and calling it taxes. It's legal. And it's legal somehow to pillage a society because that's what's freaking happening. It's really ticking me off, especially the whole insurance thing, man. So much money on insurance, and it makes me mad as an employer. You know, over $300,000 a year for our staff, and do they get good coverage? Do they get good service? No. It's disgusting to me. It makes me really mad. Anyway, So Toby will be covering that kind of stuff, some asset protection and perhaps some legacy planning type stuff, just kind of touching on those kinds of things. So I am, now that we have everybody in the room, I want to talk to you about learning how to tell your story. And this is a really important thing. There's some very basic skills that I learned over the last 28 years. This skill I learned much sooner than that, I mean, more towards 25 years ago. And learning to give a pitch, learning to give a 30-second pitch, it works for everything, whether it's dating, it's doing interviews for your company, trying to sell or market a product, trying to sell and market yourself, or an idea. And all of us sell something. We're all selling either an idea, or we're selling a product or a service, or we're selling ourselves. And part of sales and marketing is really understanding the art of a testimonial and the craft of it, being able to tell it in such a way that is compelling to people. Most people do not know how to give their story. They don't know how to give their ID. And their ID is something that has to be done in the very beginning anytime you're going to do a presentation. And it is also something that closes up a presentation. So I want to kind of give you the outline about how to be able to do that. If we can go ahead and pass out the 30-second story now, that would be great. So our volunteers are going to pass those forms out. And I'm going to just do a very quick teaching on this, and then we're going to quickly move into problem solving with people, how to have really tough conversations, but where the result is in restoration, and actually more intimacy, where there's a really bad situation that happened between two people, or four people, or 10 people, and how in the world do you save the relationship, but how do you make that relationship stronger? And I've had to have hundreds of those conversations. And if you plan on growing your level of leadership and growing your income and creating wealth, well, let's just break it down and make it plain. How many of you have kids? And who here that doesn't is planning on it? Well, guess what? You're going to have people problems. You're going to have them. Because to be honest with you, I've had to have more of these conversations with my children than I've had with my staff. So the same exact skill of disarming dissension in my professional life is the same exact tools that I've used it with my kids. And that is a continuous thing, especially if you have as many kids as I had and you have boys that are super close in age like that. I mean, it's ridiculous of the amount of conflict that comes into a family and me and Hans. We're both two very strong, passionate people. You put two strong, passionate entrepreneurs together, and there's going to be conflict. There's going to be a ton of conflict. And we've had seasons of just like life-draining conflict. And then we've had this last almost 2 years. Yeah, it's almost been 2 years where there's been one very uncomfortable moment. And that's it. One in 2 years, which is freaking nothing. That's freaking nothing. Where our marriage used to be moments of bliss separated by earthquakes, tsunamis, typhoons, hurricanes, sometimes all at once. Seriously. And I said seasons of earthquakes, tsunamis, and hurricanes, and seasons of bliss. So it was like either, like two cats, right? Or it was awesome and bliss and passionate love and wonderful and romantic. This doesn't happen anymore. Praise God. We've had enough healing inside of us from our past. We've learned some new skills. We've also learned to not allow, that we've taken a stand on what is not allowed in our household, what's not allowed between the two of us. We've taken that stand and we don't cross that freaking line, period, end of story. Come hell or high water, we're not passing that. No pass go, no, not happening. Using your own will to go after what you actually want. Okay. So let's talk about that 30-second story. For some of you, right away, you're going to discount this and say, I don't really think I need to use that. You actually really do need to learn how to do this and how to use it. All right, so first off, you have a sheet in front of you, and that sheet tells you, okay, here's your story. So you write down your name, okay, and where you're from. We are not allowed here at Creating a Dynasty for any of you to sell your product, your service, your company. You're not allowed to do that here. However, where there is something that we all have in common. What we have in common is First Steps to Success and DannyJohnson.com. So that's going to be the product that's, you know, the what do you call that? The dummy product, if you will, that we're going to use as an example. And then once you leave here, you'll tell your own with your own product and your own service, okay, whatever that is. So your name and where you're from, go ahead and fill that in. I think you know how to do that. And then, and by the way, this is a lesson on positioning. Positioning is everything. Framing is everything. And what does that mean? That means that you are telling the prospect or whoever it is that you're marketing to, or however which way that you're representing your company, your job, or your brand. And by the way, how do companies grow?
Exposure.
Okay, someone says exposure. But exposure of what? A company is a story. Okay, a company is a story. That's all a company is a story. That's all it is. The government is a story, all right? If you have a government job, it's a story. It's human beings that came together and organized something and produced something, okay? So when it comes to branding and positioning, it's very, very important for you to know how to do that. So when it comes to branding and positioning, it's you basically giving a focus to what you want somebody else to hear, all right? You're creating a story that you want someone else to hear. Now, facts tell stories. Hell, you heard sell, not hell. Some stories are hell. But you heard that at first. I've certainly had hell stories. You heard that at First Step Success. Now it's about showing you how to present that story in a way where people can actually hear it, where they relate to it, where they identify with it, and that it actually builds some kind of trust, all right? So, number one, your name. Number two, where you're from. I'm from Texas. You're from California, or you're from New York, or whatever. Okay. Now, the product that we're using is DannyJohnson.com. That's going to be the dummy product, if you will. Now, when you're telling a story, it's important to list and identify the problem that the solution solved. Okay. So it's going to be, hi, my name is Danny from Texas. Prior to plugging into DannyJohnson.com, I was, bam, $35,000 in debt, whatever the problems were, it's important to list what the problems are, all right? So with your product and service, whatever it is that you're using that solved a problem, because that a product and a service has to solve a problem, okay? Or it's not a product and a service, okay? All companies solve problems. So you have to identify the problems that they solve. So in your case of your story, okay, and again, you can use this to create the story for your company, for your job, for your dating thing or whatever. And even when you're identifying, let me tell you another place you use a story is when you're identifying to help a person solve a problem, okay? And so whenever you want to help somebody else solve a problem, you'll state the problem you had and where you found the solution to solve it. I do this with my children. I do this when communicating with my husband. I do this when communicating with myself. So, number one, your name, where you're from. Prior to DannyJohnson.com, list the problems, okay? And what does that look like? How many of you were in debt? Okay, so I was in debt. But see, debt has no emotional connection. People are emotional. Remember Hans is talking about, we all make emotional decisions. So if what you're selling or talking about is not tapping into the emotion, this just causes people to go, it's just information. So if the information has to have emotion in it, otherwise it's just information. And information goes in the trash, kind of like a brochure, right? Have you ever had someone hand you a brochure? What do you do with a brochure? Goes in the trash, right? There's no emotional connection to that brochure. It just goes in the trash. It's just information, all right? So facts tell, stories sell. Why do stories sell? Because they have emotion in them. That's why. That's why. People, human beings connect on emotion. So you have to tap into that emotion, and problems are emotional, okay? Problems are emotional. So, but unless, of course, you make them not emotional. So in the case of debt, what you would want to use in marketing, especially in sales and positioning, is you want to use descriptive words, perhaps words that create a mental picture, okay? So for example, I was suffocating under the pressure of debt. What do you see when I say I was suffocating under the pressure of debt? Can you almost feel yourself like, you can't breathe, right? So that adds the pain to the subject. So there's got to be some pain point to the subject matter. Otherwise, again, it's just flying right over their head. It's just words that are being spoken, all right? So you got to add some kind of pain, some kind of emotion to the subject being debt. So what are some other words that you could use to describe the pain of debt?
Drowning.
I was drowning. So no, do you see how you get a word picture in your head, the word creates a picture. Sorry, the word creates a picture in your head when you hear, I was drowning in debt. Okay, what's another one? Ooh, I felt like I was in a sinkhole. I was in a sinkhole of debt. Ah, that's scary, right? That produces an emotion of fear. Like, oh my gosh, help! I was in, you know, it's almost like quicksand. Yeah, scary. It's very scary. What else? Say what? Say again? Engulfed. So I was engulfed. It's not really an emotional word. Struggle, chokehold. Haunted. Frustrated with my debt. Yes, it's still not. Frustrated doesn't quite. Prison. I was in a prison. I was imprisoned by my debt. Shackled by my debt. I was up to my neck in debt. Yes. Chained. Trapped. Buried. Okay, these are all great words. Okay, chained, buried. We said that 3 times. Paralyzed. Okay, do you understand? If the word has to produce a picture in the mind in order for an emotion to be created, all right? So whatever the problems were, like, you came to First Steps to Success not to have a good time for the weekend. That's not what brought you here. Why did you come? There was problems that needed to be solved, and you found some stories of other people who solved those problems that came. Largely how you ended up here was by testimonials. That's how most of you ended up here, okay? Whether it was a friend telling you testimonies, you found our website, you started watching some videos, or it was on Facebook and you saw some videos, testimonials is what draws people to come. And it's testimonials that have the problem in the testimonial that causes people to come, all right? So you go ahead and list. I don't know what problems you had when you came here. List them. And then do your best to attach a word that creates an emotional picture to describe what you were dealing with to it. Now, the goal is to tell your story inside of 30 seconds. Why? We live in a world that is very easily distracted and has a very short attention span today. It's important that when you share your story, that you leave what we call the so what out. Now, again, this isn't just about your story. This is about a company story. It's about telling a health story. It's about telling a results-oriented story. Something that Hans mentioned this morning was so powerful about the 2 different types of economies, really 3. One was dollars for hours economy. 2 was results. I'm so very blessed that as a 19-year-old kid that I got introduced to the results economy. I don't know if I would be where I'm at today if I wasn't introduced to the results economy. You stay focused on results and you will make a tremendous amount of money. Results. What results are people looking for? And that's what you sell. You're selling a result. That's what you're selling, is a result. That's what people want. When people say to you, I want to think about it, it's because you've given them information instead of results. So that's why you can't sell just features or benefits. You have to sell results. And that's what our website sells. Our website sells results. Who's our results? You. You are our results. So initially, it's my result, right? Homeless to millionaire. And what's my result? I teach other people how to get results. I teach them how to pay off their debt. I teach them how to grow a business, how to grow and get promotions in their careers, and how to do this without destroying their families or their health. Okay, so in positioning yourself and positioning a company or a product or a service, you want to do it quickly because people do not have an attention span. And as soon as you start talking about things that don't matter to them, they're out. Their brain is somewhere else. They're on their phone. They're looking at something else. They're watching a video. They're reading an article. They're gone. So the way to captivate people is to relate to the people. But telling the story, telling the outskirts of the story doesn't mean anything to them. It means nothing. They want, especially the rubies, you'll drive them crazy. If your story's longer than 30 seconds, They're gone. You have annoyed and frustrated them. So I loved what happened on the stage yesterday, because each one of the gems that were here were very perfect in explaining how it felt when they were approached in their opposite gem. So hearing that ruby say, I am annoyed and frustrated. The same thing happens to a ruby when your story is sounding something like this. Okay, you ready? I'm going to give you a bad story example. Okay, ready? Hi, my name is Danny Johnson, and I was actually born right here in Southern California. In fact, about 10 minutes away from here. And what happened was is that my mom was a young teenager. She was 17, and she was cruising town one day, and she met this hot-looking Latino guy from Nicaragua. Anyway, they got together, and then here I am. I grew up, and I grew up on Grant Avenue. It's just right down the street here, right near Redondo Beach. It's Grant Avenue, really busy street. You know, it's the four lanes with a suicide lane. And yeah, that's where we grew up. And so I went to Washington Elementary School, which is also in Redondo Beach. And I used to be able to walk. I used to get ready every morning, and I used to step out the door. And I'd cross that first street. It's a big street. It had, you know, big lights and everything. So I would just walk to school every day, you know, kindergarten. And so I went from kindergarten all the way to sixth grade at Washington Elementary School. And then... Is there anyone frustrated? Okay. And why? There's nothing I said that related to you. Because humans only care about themselves. And they only care about what they're interested in. And because if there's someone that lived in Redondo, who here lives in Redondo? Okay, that's about the only person that got any bit of a word picture. There's three, four of them. Okay, they got a word picture. One of them is a family member of mine. Okay, so she knows exactly where I lived. You know exactly where the house was. I mean, she's like, she's seeing it right there, the big tree in the front yard. Okay, she knows where Grant Avenue is. Okay, yeah, the little tiny kitchen. I mean, because she'd been in the house. That's why. She'd known me since I was in my mother's womb. So, isn't that so crazy? Isn't that scary to think about? Isn't that, like, just crazy, Cotty? Okay, anyway. So, the only ones that were identifying with my story are the ones from Redondo Beach or know Redondo Beach or know where Grant Avenue is. So, that information is so isolated that it means nothing to everybody else in the room. Okay? So you have to make sure that your story is going to identify with whoever it is that you're talking to. Why? Because humans are selfish by nature. All they care about is their own interests. They could give a rip that you grew up in an 800-square-foot green house with a big tree in the front yard on Grant Avenue, and you used to live right next to these apartment buildings, so you used to ride your bike in a circle around the apartment buildings. And then I used to walk to the park I used to walk down the street, Grant Avenue, to this great park. And actually one day when I was 9, I was doing twirling. The park was under construction. I was twirling on a bar. You know, you like you stick your knee over it and you twirl. Yeah, I hit the pavement, cracked my head open, 14 stitches, out of school for a month. And I had this giant ball of blood and hair on the back of my hair. And they had to cut my hair off. And I looked like a little boy with freckles. I did. It was terrible. I wasn't a very cute kid. I really wasn't. Okay. Thanks. That's so sweet of you to say, Cardi. So sweet of you to say. I don't think so. I've seen pictures. Anyway, I'm like, ooh, that's a face only. Oh, see? That's 11 years old. I'm 11 years old there. That's the fifth grade. Yeah. Yeah. Check it. See those eyebrows? That's a face only a mother could love. Exactly. With my red eyes and my eyebrows that are touching my eyes. There we go. That is actually a few months after my mom broke her neck. Yeah, it's right after my mom broke her neck. Anyway. Whatever. And I went to Supercuts to get my hair feathered. My mom freaked out. She was paralyzed in a bed. She couldn't do anything about it. Sadly. So I wanted my hair feathered. Wish I didn't do that. Anyway, whatever. My point is that that when you tell a story to a group of people, or you have to remember who it is that you're talking to and what their interests are and what matters to them. Okay, so here's what we know. How many of you are in debt or were in debt? Almost all of us. So pretty much everyone relates with that term, but whether or not you captivate them emotionally is the words that you use to describe the debt and how the debt made you feel. So you're always tapping into the feelings. It's the feelings that cause people to make a decision. It is not facts and figures. It's not, it's actually how the facts and figures will make you feel. Everything boils down to feelings. Everything boils down to emotion, all right? So how many of you came here to learn how to grow your business? You're having business problems or career problems, and you need to make more money. So then that's what would be in your story, is that I needed to make more money. We were having financial problems. Well, financial problems really don't say much, right? But it could be what could you use to describe the financial problems or the financial pressure? You tell me. Yes, we were a mess financially. I get a picture in my head when I see that, right? I see, like, my daughter's house. Not that one. Not this one. The sapphire one. The sapphire. She's like Ruby Sapphire, and it just shows. Three dogs, a cat, and six kids. Take a deep breath. I have to put my sapphire head on when I walk in there. So, yeah, I invited Erin to my house, and my house was a mess, and she's like, it is? This is a disaster, I promise. Okay, anyway, so, yeah, my finances were a mess. We never had enough money, always ran out of money. We're looking ahead and just seeing that we're under so much financial pressure now. What was it going to be in the future? Whichever way it is, it's your story. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's your story. So you describe, again, emotionally describe what it felt like to be in that situation. That's what's important. Okay, so then the next step on there is to bridge to the solution, all right? So you're bridging now to a solution. So in this case, your solution was First Steps to Success, right? So I came to First Steps to Success, and now you list the results, okay? And the results need to be a machine gun. It's a machine gun of what the result was. So whether you paid off $500 worth of debt, you got promoted in your job, you increased your income, you learned ways, and you don't ever go into what you learned, you just sell the result. So you don't say, oh, we went through this thing called War on Debt, and I learned how to eat out of my pantry, and I also sold my nice car, and now I drive a clunker, and I got rid of my big house, and now I live in the ghetto, and we have no furniture. We're living on lounge chairs. None of that is appealing to anybody. That does not appeal to anybody, okay? And we went through this thing called gems, and you're a sapphire. No. Okay, now you're speaking a language that no one else understands. And when you speak a language that no one else understands, you exclude them. And people don't like to feel excluded. They want to feel included. So again, you always have to think about who you're talking to when you're telling your story. Because if you say it in a way that only we in this room understand, yeah, we went through this thing called gems. Okay, just think about that for 1 second. We went through this thing called gems. You right now have gems branded in your head as ruby, sapphire, pearl, emerald, as in personalities, as in people. But everyone outside these doors, when they hear gems, what are you thinking? Jewelry. We went through this thing called gems, and I'm a sapphire. And I think you're a pearl. What? Do you understand? So that's what we call in sales and marketing a disconnect. Yes. So wherever there's a disconnect, it's like this, a train on a track that now there's a disconnect. What happens with the disconnect on a train that's on a track? No, it's no derail. That's dead. That's not a derail. That's dead. Everyone in the train is dead. Do you hear me? So it is the same with your story. It's the same with positioning. It's the same with marketing. The mind has to follow a track. That's how it works. And 1, 2, 3, 4, it just has to go like this. So as soon as there isn't a track, and it's like, again, yeah, we learned this thing called gems. I learned so much about people. So is this a jewelry seminar? And what does jewelry have to do with people? Do you understand? So you have to stay away from explaining what you like about it. You have to present it in a way that the person who knows nothing understands it. Okay? You always have to come from their ears, not your ears. Not from your mind, but their ears. Does that connect? Yes. She's like, not quite. Are you sure? So you wouldn't say war on debt. You would just say, well, since plugging into First Step Success, I've paid off, bam. That's the result. You don't explain war on debt. You don't explain gems. You don't explain form. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say their story. Yeah, I formed a guy. What exactly does that mean? You formed a guy. What exactly are you? Honey, just stay away from my guy because you ain't going to form nothing on him. That, do you see what I mean? That's a major disconnect. And anytime you make a prospect or an employer or an interviewer go, what the frick are you talking about? It's over. It's over. It's game over, derailed, gone, dead. Okay? So you want to make sure that there's no disconnects in your story, that you don't speak a private language, but that you just sell the result. So the result is I paid off X amount of what it did. I saved X amount of money. I was able to get promoted in my job. I got a bonus. I got an increase. And say what the actual factual numbers of increase actually were. At the same time, I've taken 3 vacations. My husband and I are rock solid in bed again. Like, who doesn't want that? Especially the guy saying that. Like, I'm getting laid, man. This is awesome. You got to send your wife to this woman. I wouldn't advise giving that story in a church. It seems to be both parties are frigid over there. Anyway, so whatever it was that needed to be solved, you want to state that. And you want to state the results, not the features or the benefit of the product or the service. Just sell the results. You sell the results, people got to have the results. That's all people want anyway. So the biggest mistake that people make in sales is they love to feature benefit sell. They love to feature benefit sell. They love to feature benefit sell. That's what many of you are taught to feature benefit sell. Screw that. Cut to the darn chase and get to the results. Here it is. Bam. This is what happened to so-and-so. This is what happened to so-and-so. This is what happened to so-and-so. If you're just firing away testimonial after testimonial after testimonial, people get to the point, okay, I want it. Because it answers all their objections. Answers every one of their objections. So-and-so couldn't afford it. So-and-so didn't think that it would work for them. But they tried it. This is the result that they got. Bam. Done. So are you ready to get that result or not? I'm not even selling anything, but she wants the result. Which is awesome. And people appreciate that, by the way. They appreciate knowing what's the result. Get to the point. Do you understand? Get to the point. I don't care what the personality is, but you will frustrate the snot out of rubies if you don't get to the point, if you don't sell that result, all right? All right, cool. So the result also has an implied promise in it, okay? The results always have an implied promise, right? Someone else got the result, so it is implied what? That I can get the result. I, as the prospect, that if this person got that result, well, then shoot, what could I do? If I'm a Ruby, I'm like, freaking done, man. I'll do it in half the time. Okay? That's what a Ruby, when they're hearing a result, is thinking, right? The pearl that kind of takes, okay, well, maybe, well, if I got half the amount of result, that would still be, that'd be good, right? To Emerald, the result is the facts that it works. It's the proof. Do you understand? It's the proof that it does work. It's the credibility that it does work. And to a Sapphire, they're inspired by any story. They are. They're inspired by any story. So this is why facts tell and stories sell. Okay, so you want to get really good at telling stories. Something that I used to do with my sales force, and I want some people to hear me about that right now because some of you are in a sales force. Whenever we came to an event like this, I set them on an assignment that you collect 10 stories every single day. And there's a reason for that. 10 new stories every single day. You see, when we first started, and JP can tell you this and confirm this, when we first started August 2003, our goal was to get 10,000 testimonials. 10,000 unique testimonials was our goal to collect. And we had no idea how long that was going to take. Well, Hans created a database, and so every single time someone emailed us their testimonial, oh my gosh, I used Warren debt, I paid off this much debt, I just grew my business 300%, those are real stories, not, oh, I came to First Steps, I feel so much better about myself. That is not a story, that is a so what. We don't care if you, no one cares that you feel better about yourself. They don't. It's sad, but it's true. Okay, remember, people are selfish. They want themselves to feel better about themselves, okay? You feeling better about yourself, I don't really care about that. And really, what makes you feel better about yourself? Just some, you know, some stupid crap that you learned? Nah. Give me a break. People don't care about that. They care about the result. What's the result of you feeling better about yourself? Bam. She says, I paid off $66,000 worth of debt. Booyah. Okay, paying off $66,000 worth of debt, what does that imply? That you feel better about yourself, right? That's an assumption that goes along with it. But saying, I just feel better about myself doesn't sell me anything, right? But I paid off $66,000 worth of debt. I'm feeling pretty good about myself right now. Okay, now that makes sense, right? Okay. All right, so the result is what you're selling. Final, is you want to learn how to anchor your words. This is really important, really important. And this is a style of speech, if you will, that causes people to be drawn in to what you are saying. I'm actually going to put you in an exercise to where you're going to learn how to do it, okay? So we're going to turn the chairs around, and you are actually going to hear a 30-second buzzer. Can I hear the buzzer? That's not the buzzer. That's the buzzer, okay? So every 30 seconds, that sucker's going to go off, all right? That sucker's going to go off, and that means shut up. It's the next person's turn to start telling their story. Now, it takes practice to be able to, you're like, wait a second, I'm going to have to tell a story. Yes, you're going to have to tell a story. Guess what? Some of you are going to really screw the whole thing up. You're going to screw the whole thing up, and that's what I want you to do. Go screw it up. Go make a gigantic mess, all right? And it's okay to make a mess. You're in a safe place to make a mess. Why? Because guess what? You're going to be in a group with other people, and guess what they're doing? They're making a mess, all right? So you're going to have a chance to tell your story at least three times. You're going to be in a group of four, all right? Maybe three times. I'm not sure if I'll let you do that three times. We're going to see on the time. Okay, so we're going to flip around the chairs. You're going to be in a group of four. In that group, you're going to say what you wrote down. Prior to, you're going to give your descriptive words describing the situation. Now, hold on. Listen to me carefully. Oh, my gosh. I just got something come to me really quick here. Or something else I used to have my group do. They went and told 10 people their story every day. Do you know what your story, if you're telling your story, you're held accountable. You're held accountable to results. Meaning if you knew 4 weeks ago when you were here at First Step Success, or if it was 8 weeks ago, March, or if it was January when you came, right? If you were on this year's cycle, January, March, or here, and I told you that we're going to meet at Dynasty, and you're going to have to tell a story. And this is what the story has to be related to. It's going to be related to your finances, your career, or your family life. How you've made improvements in your life. Did you save a marriage? Did you help yourself not get fired? You're about to get fired, and you not only didn't get fired, but now you're on a promotional path? If I would have told you that, how many of you would have worked harder to create a better story? It's kind of a good thing, right? Because right now it's like, oh, caca! Ah! Do you know what that is? You know what the old caca feeling is? It's accountability. That's what that is. That's accountability. You were here. You heard information. Whether or not you act on it, it determined whether or not you got a result. Did you hear me? Whether or not you acted on it determined whether or not you got a result. Right now, you're looking at the results you're writing down. You're like, I'm not really happy with my results. Whose fault is that? It's yours. So if I came over to you and said, I want to know, what's your story? What have you done since the last time I saw you? You not enough? Your skin looks so nice, by the way. You're so handsome. Are you married yet?
Uh-oh.
No? We'll have to find you a wife. No, not right now. Not yet. No, he's gorgeous. He's gorgeous. He's like, no, I'm not looking for a wife right now.
All the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies.
That's awesome. There are a few in here. It's okay. Deep breath, deep breath, deep breath. No pressure. All right. So listen to me. If you're feeling like I didn't get enough results, I didn't do what I said I was going to do, okay? That teaches you something. You're in control of your mind, what you did with it. Now you're looking at it going, okay, am I going to do that again? Am I going to do that again? I'm making the choice. I'm in control of my life. I'm going to pull out of the habits that are keeping me stuck, and I'm going to produce results. So leaving this event, you leave here with the purpose of go create your story. Go create your story. Go, just focus on that for the next 4 weeks. I have to create a story. This is also something that I taught my Salesforce. Go create a story. You have to create your story within your first 30 days. You got to create your story. What's your story going to be? I made $2,000 in 10 hours. Is my story going to be that I did nothing? Is my story going to be that I paid off $5,000 worth of debt in 3 months? Is my story going to be that I went home and watched television? Is my story going to be... what's it going to be? Because you are in complete control of it. No one else is. No one else is. So right now, you're going to tell some bit of a story, okay? And you're going to get in the practice of it. You got 30 seconds. Because one of these days, I'm going to throw your butt right up on that stage with a microphone in your mouth, and I'm going to say 30-second story, just like you heard me do to somebody else at the last first steps that you were at. 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds. And by the way, if you won't get it done in 30 seconds, I'm not putting the mic back in your mouth ever again. This is a professional stage. People pay thousands of dollars to get here. If I'm putting a mic in your mouth, you better do it right. You better be the trained professional that we're here training. You represent the brand. You represent your brand. You represent our brand. So, and if you're going to go off on so what, you've lost 2,000 ears and wasted time. Do you understand? Guess what? You want to be on that stage and you want to tell your story. You do. It adds credibility to you. You want to get on one of our videos. It adds credibility, especially if you have a company, you have a team, you have coworkers that you're working with. It adds credibility to you. I cannot even tell you the countries that see our videos. You will be an international hit. You will. People will know you from all over the world. And you thought you were unpopular living wherever it is that you live in Michigan. Michigan. All right, so we're going to turn the chairs around. You're going to screw this up, okay? I'd rather you screw it up with me right here in a practice setting than screwing it up back home. So, go tell your story 10 times a day. You'll end up with new clients. Thank you, baby. We actually move quicker when we don't talk. Okay, listen. Who here is in full-time sales? Okay, this exercise is super important for you. If you're in full-time sales, what I just said of go collect 10 stories a day while you're here is really important. Two reasons. One, stories inspire you to greater greatness. Number one, you get inspired through testimony. And if you're just expecting to get inspired from the stage, you're cheating yourself. When you're standing in line, ask people, what is your story? And I want you to tell your story 10 times today, 10 times tomorrow. And then when you leave here, if you're in full-time sales, if all you did, whether it was in an elevator or it was in a subway at the airport, you just said, hey, dude, I'm sorry. I'm on an assignment for my coach. I got to tell you this. Tell your story. You have the opportunity to collect a lead. If you're telling your story to 10 brand new people a day, do you think that maybe you might get one out of 10 that might say, what do you do? Do you have a card? It is a possibility that you might spread some kind of interest and all you're doing is telling your story. Your story inspires. You might have a divine appointment when you go and tell your story. Your story might help somebody to not commit suicide. Your story might give somebody hope. Your story might connect with the person that you're talking to that is in debt, on the bridge of a divorce, on the bridge of quitting on every area of their life, or a business that is struggling. So you, if you do this, if you leave here, I'm going to tell this story we're doing right here, this DannyJohnson.com story, to 10 people a day. How many of you know somebody might get interested in something that you have or do? Yes. It's sheer numbers. That's all it is. Sales is nothing but numbers. Marketing is nothing but numbers. And the key to success in sales and marketing is testimonials. So it's how many people a day am I going to tell my story to? And if you're prospecting every day and you're not telling your story every day, what are you doing? Entertaining people, telling jokes, giving information? People don't make decisions on information. They make decisions on results. So your story, I just love you, Chris. I just want to do this with you full time by myself. It'd be so much fun. Anyway, sorry. You're right. Not yet. Maybe one day. One day. It's about my time. Anyway, so if you went, if you walked around with the intention of inspiring people by telling your story, you're going to end up with leads. You will have an endless source of them. Go test it for 30 days and then come call me a liar. Who's taking me up on it? Who's in sales? 10 times a day, go tell your story. Where are you? I want to see the hands. Okay, I'm looking at your face. Okay, you're in? You're in. 10 times, 10 people a day. It's easy to run into 10 people a day. Okay, 10 people a day, 10 people a day. There's like 30 people, 40 people. I don't know if you can feel this, but I am breathing down your neck. I don't know if you caught that, but that is me breathing. Fire dragon, yes. Latina, breathing down your neck. Okay, all right? You're going to report to me on Facebook. Ryan Mattings, I know you're going to do it. Because I know that anytime you've ever committed something to me, you do it. I'm serious. I just love you. Has it been 10 years? 10 years. Yeah, it's 10 years this year. It's amazing. It's amazing. Okay. And in this room many times. I know. It was this exact room, too, where we let Hans's grandparents know that we were retiring them and all that stuff. They were on that picture. So it's so sweet that he shared that picture today. They've been to First Steps many times. Okay, you ready? Person number one, raise your hands. You're last. Person number four, you're going first. Person number four, identify yourself. Person number four is going first. It goes, listen, shh. It goes 4, 1, 2, 3. 4, 1, 2, 3. 4, 1, 2, 3. 30 seconds. On. Okay, wait. If you want your story to be believable, what must you do? Even if you have spinach in your teeth. No. Even if you have 4 teeth. That's all you got left is 4 teeth. Show them all. And show them proud. Okay? Even if you got jacked up teeth piled on top of each other. On. How are you going to sell your story? Smile. What else? Eye contact. What else? Nod. You know what? I'm going to do this a different way. I'm going to make it easier for you. 4 tells 1. 3 tells 2. So it's one-on-one, not a group. Okay? One-on-one, not a group. What, baby? You only have 3 people, or one of you going to tell it twice? Okay, actually, do this. Do this. Oh, wait. All right, the rest of you guys have correct 4 groups of 4? Okay, everyone scoot in. If there's a chair, if there's an open chair, raise your hand. We need this for the next exercise also. Open chair. Okay, so the rows that have open chairs, everyone scoot down. Scoot this way. Scoot, 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 scoot in. Scoot. Everyone, look at me. You're going to scoot your this way. My husband's wearing off on me. Scoot in. There's an empty chair. Scoot in. It's going to make it easy to fill the gaps. Ow. Scoot, scoot, scoot. So you got two open right there? Awesome. What do we have over here? Scoot, slide, slide, slide. You guys are doing a great job. Awesome. Did it work? Right, there's a group over there of two, too. Where's another group of two? There you go. Problem solved. Makes it really easy when it's on the ends. Okay, you're a group of two. Stand up. Who needs two people? Over there.
Go.
Oh, wait, it's closer. Right here. Right there, wave. Okay, look. Who needs two people? Group, the two people stand up.
The two people stand up.
I guess they solved it.
If your group needs more people, stand up.
All right, here we go. Four tells one, three tells two, 30-second bell, then you switch, okay? Then one tells four, two tells three. On your mark, get set, go! Oh, hold it! Take a deep breath. My gosh, if you could feel what was... Woo! No. No. Obey. Push. Okay, ready? Take a deep breath. Now, eye contact, smile. You own this story. It's not about doing it right. It's your story. It's your story. You're talking to a human being, not a machine. Okay? This is not a contest of how much breath can I get out of me, how fast. Listen carefully. Shh. It's about focus. So eye contact makes you focus. Okay? Smiling at someone makes you focus. Now you get behind that story that you own, that God gave you. You own it. Okay? And it's going to relate to someone. So you give that to them. And by the way, your stories, everything that I just gave you, the problems is how you build bridges. Problems build bridges with other people who have problems, and everyone has problems. Let me see. Anybody here have problems? So it's pretty safe to say for you to talk about yours. It's going to relate to someone. Okay? All right. So this time, what I want you to do is I want you to anchor important words. That's what I do every time I speak. So what words am I anchoring? Oh, I'm not thinking that hard. But what word is standing out in your head? Word. I anchored the word word. How do you anchor a word? What word did I anchor? Anchor. So all it is a just a little half pause on a word. Keeps you at the correct pace that you should be telling your story. Number two, it helps the person draw them in. Whenever you give a slight little pause, it makes them come forward more. Wait, what's next? It creates suspense in the story, okay? So little power pause, You anchor. I don't care what word it is at this point. Once you get to a high level of mastery of speaking, which I've never been taught how to speak. But if you look at our politicians, they do this constantly. Some of them do it disgustingly. There was one on the Republican ballot that drove me freaking crazy. Like, well, he just shut up. Because he couldn't just talk normal. You can talk normal and anchor your words. And then you can use it to a point of straight up manipulation, where it's every three words that you're anchoring a word. That's disgusting. Okay? So just, we were suffocating in debt. What were the two words that I, and? So it's just a quick power pause. Keeps you on track to where you're not drilling somebody with your story, but you're just simply giving a power pause every few words, especially the words that you really want them to hear. So what word you want them to hear is the word that you anchor. What two words did I just anchor? Hear and anchor. Okay, ready? So person number one, it's your turn. You're going to be the one to show them how to do it right this time. On your mark, eye contact, wait, get your eye contact. Get your eye contact, get your eye contact, get your eye contact. On your mark, get set, go. All right. Who is able to do it inside of 30 seconds? Okay, good job, good job. All right, now we're going to switch again. So actually what I want to have happen is four and one switch chairs. I'm sorry. Three and four switch chairs. Three and four, three switch and four. Chairs. Okay. Now what I want is one and two, three and four. Okay, so one tells two, three tells four. One tell two, three tell four, and then you're going to switch. On your mark. Hold on. Shh.
Please stop talking.
Okay, hold on. Shh. Listen up. Don't try to solve any problem amongst yourselves. You only create more problems. Person number one, raise your hand. You are going to tell your story in 30 seconds to person number two. It's next to them. Person number two, raise your hand. You're going to hear person number one's story. Person number three, raise your hand. Person number three, the new number three. The new number three, you got to turn my mic up. Person number three, you're going to tell your story to number four. Number four, raise your hand. You're going to listen. Okay, now hold on. Shh. Anytime you go to tell your story, I don't care if it's on a conference call, I don't care if you're walking into a meeting, you're walking into an interview, you got to put this on. You got to put it on. I'm going to put on my smile. I am cloaking myself with my smile and my eye contact. Okay? Just like you make sure you're not walking into the meeting naked. Right? You're walking in with clothing on. Clothe yourself with faith. Clothe yourself with, for those of you that serve the same God I do, with the Spirit of the living God that has given you this story to tell. Every meeting you walk into, you walk in it knowing, I have my story. I own this story. I'm using my eyes to connect. I'm using my nod to connect. I'm using my smile to connect, okay? Anchor the appropriate words. I don't care if you screw up and use anchor and first or the first. It's okay. Let's just learn to anchor a word to begin with, all right? On your mark, get set, go. All right, who did it? Awesome job. Smiling with eye contact, owning your own story. Now switch. Two tells one, four tells three. Go. All right. Okay, listen up. Now, two tells three, one tells four. Go. All right. Who did it? Raise your hand if you get it within 30 seconds. Okay, now switch again. Three tells two, four tells one. Go. Facts tell, stories sell. How many of you just heard a good story? Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. How many of you just heard a good story? How many of you think that there's someone that you heard a story from that should get on the stage and nail it? Okay? I want 10. I want 10 because look, you're gonna learn something here. Come on. Wait. Whoa. Come on. Wow. You look hot. Okay, stay up here. It's okay. Hold on. Where's the one that I wanted to hear, girlfriend? Yeah, get your up here. I know. Okay. I'm starting with you. You got it? Did you get it in 30 seconds? Okay. Pay very close attention. There will be no buzzer. He's going to let me know when it's 30 seconds. But you got 30 seconds. Go.
My name is Regina Thompson from Mansfield, Texas. Prior to coming to First Steps to Success, I was a widowed mom suffocating under the stress of managing my responsibilities. I was failing in my relationships. My business was in a downward spiral. Since coming to Creating a Dynasty, my relationships have been restored. Every area of my life is flourishing. My business has tripled, and my team has grown over 300%.
Awesome.
Nice. Go for it.
Hi there, I'm Matt, and I'm from Georgia. And prior to plugging you to DannyJohnson.com, I was a stressed mess. My back was breaking from the burden of debt. My children and I were practical strangers, and all the strain was just cracking my marriage. After I went to First Step Success, I've paid off over $270,000 in debt. I have over $200,000 in savings. My entire family of nine is going on a cash-paid cruise in 1 week from today. And my high school sweetheart and I have the hottest relationship we've had in 20 years. So if you like what you just heard, then you need to go to DannyJohnson.com.
Okay, that's brilliant. There was something I forgot to teach you, and that is that your story has to have a call to action. Okay? Your story has to have a call to action, and it's on your sheet there. So the call to action for this would be what he just did. He gave a call to action. You want results like this? Go to DannyJohnson.com, get registered for the next First Steps to Success. That's a call to action. That call to action takes 5 seconds. Okay? Go.
Boom.
Jen, tell me when it's done. 30 seconds. Go.
Well, I'm Jose Rivera. I'm original from Puerto Rico, living in Orlando right now. Before starting to come into First Step to Success, we were drowning in debt. At the same time, I was working 80 to 90 hours a week, and I couldn't spend time with our family and do the things that I love to do at church. Since I started to come to the First Step to Success, we were able to pay over $200,000 in less than 3 years. On top of that, I found courage to work at a place for 40 to 45 hours, double my income, spend a lot of time with my family, and I can spend more time at church and do the things that I love to do. So if this is the kind of results that you're looking for, you should come with me next time for the first steps to success.
45 seconds. Go.
My name's Cody. I'm from Oregon. And prior to plugging into DannyJohnson.com, I was killing myself, working 80 hours a week in a failing business. And my wife and I were like ships passing in the night. After attending First Steps to Success, I slashed my hours. I doubled my income. And my wife and I are rock solid again in the bedroom. So if you'd like results like this, I want to encourage you to come to the next First Steps of Success in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, go.
When, coach?
My name is Michael Garcia. I'm from Turlock, California. Prior to plugging into Danny Johnson, I was drowning in $350,000 of debt. My mind was operating like quicksand and telling me I would never get out. By plugging in to DannyJohnson.com and coming to First Steps, I was able to annihilate $350,000 of debt. We are 100% debt-free. I highly recommend that if you want those kind of results, then follow me to DannyJohnson.com and to creating a dynasty.
Hi, my name is Brianna. I'm from Pennsylvania. Prior to plugging into DannyJohnson.com, I had a broken marriage. It was a mess. I felt like I was in a prison cell of my college debt, and I felt like I was in a hamster wheel in my business, and I couldn't get out. After I went to First Steps to Success and plugging in for over a year consistently, I paid off $15,000 worth of debt in 15 months. My husband and I have a passionate marriage, and he received an increase in his dream job for $80,000 a year. We now have reached a breakthrough in my business, and we were able to increase our lead generation by 20%. So I don't know if any of this is interesting to you, but if it is, you have to come with me to Cleveland, Ohio in July. It's going to be an awesome time. You're going to get great results, and you're going to dominate that job that you're in.
Hi, my name is Eldon Takeda, and I'm from Novato, California. And prior to coming to Danny Johnson, I really had lousy people skills. I really did. But since then, I got an increase in hours in my work. And in the business community, I am known as the connector because I help build referral relationships. And if I was you, just keep coming to Danny Johnson. Never give up! Never give up!
Well done. Hi, I'm Lillian Nawara from Dallas, Texas. Thank you. Prior to plugging into Danny Johnson, I had over so much money in debt. I had over $60,000 in student loan debt. I had gut-wrenching anxiety every time I had to speak with my family and handle difficult situations. I felt limited in my career opportunities in the medical industry, but since plugging into Danny Johnson, I've paid over $40,000 in less than 2 years. I am now clinical director at one of my company's medical programs, and also have an amazing business that inspires women in health and fitness. I don't know if you want to build your relationships with your family and increase your income. If that's what you're looking for, you need to get to Danny Johnson in July in Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm going to see you there, so be there.
Hey, last one, that's all we got time for. Go for it.
Hi, my name is Cameron Murdoch. I'm a veteran from Fort Worth, Texas. Prior to coming to Danny Johnson, I, like many of you, struggled with a lot of debt. I felt trapped in my career, but I think the thing that really stood out for me was how broken and alone I felt. I was alienated from my wife and from my mother. Since coming to Danny Johnson, I've paid off $35,000 of debt in 10 months. I'm on a career path that is now giving me promotions and job opportunities I've never seen before, and I've reconnected with my wife and my mother in such a close way. I cannot explain to you the difference that this makes. So please join me at the next event in Cleveland, Ohio. I'd love to see you there.
All right, last one. We gotta go. We gotta get on to the next exercise.
If you want me to do this? I'm gonna do this. Hi, my name is Sabrina Watson. I'm from Tampa Bay, Florida. Prior to plugging into DannyJohnson.com, I had no relationships. I had no relationship with my creator. I wasn't even sure he existed. I was destroying my third marriage. I was at war with all of my children. Excuse me, this is tough. After plugging into DannyJohnson.com, I have restored and rebuilt all of those relationships. I am debt-free. I've tripled my income. So if you want to join me on an amazing journey, then you need to come here and build meaningful, exciting, worth-living relationships with your creator, your family, and your business community.
So powerful. So powerful. All right. So many of these stories have so many powerful things that were in them, the way that they described their careers. In fact, you at war with everybody in your life, about to fail in your third marriage, like all of that's freaking emotional. You can feel the pain that's involved in that kind of a story, and then tripled your income. That's freaking amazing. Okay, same with this young lady. Everyone had a great story, no question, but the way that you guys described it was very unique. You too, the way you described that, the passing ships in the night, all of that stuff creates word pictures. It's all emotional. Those are really super good examples. You guys did an amazing job, those of you that had the mic. Now, go back to your seats. We're starting the next exercise. And by the way, I want to capture all of your testimonials on video. Okay? So can you and anybody else, I'm going to get as many stories as you possibly can from this weekend. Who wants to tell their story on video? Okay? All right. That's quite a few of you, including these guys who are on the stage. I think on the dinner break, we're going to try to work it out to where it's just going to be a machine gun, one after another, after another, after another, and have you guys share your stories. All right. Let's move on to the next exercise. Actually, do you need to pee? Go pee. 10 minutes, be back here. 10 minutes. Okay, Brandon. Okay, check it. Remember we said 4 weeks ago, right? Some people leave the event and they get busy and they make things happen. Ba-boom. What'd you do in 4 weeks?
So since attending Danny Johnson, my wife and I have cut out what will probably end up being hundreds of thousands of dollars of wasted spending a year. I'm a TV director. It's been very successful. And kind of woke up and realized we didn't have anything. We weren't in debt, but we didn't have anything. So in 1 month, we have cut out yearly just stupid bills, almost $20,000, and monthly waste, a ton. And we've got a rental house, and we're on another rental house right now. And all the anxiety I have from a freelance job of, oh my gosh, it could all end tomorrow, and what will we do? We're fixing that with side income.
Yes.
And it's all because we came here. So if you want that, you got to come here.
It's so bad. Go.
Now I got to hire a kid, though.
No, you don't. I mean, if you want talent and you would like to an apprentice that will work his butt off and
someone
that you can make money off of, too. Someone that you can train, and then when he exceeds greatness, you can say, my thumbprint is on that kid. You can say, I did that. Go sit down. So awesome. Yeah. How's that for results in 4 weeks? Right? Proud of him and his wife that they weren't in debt, but he's sitting through war on debt going, we don't have anything. And man, living in LA, gosh, man, you gotta work like a dog just to eat. You do. You gotta work like a dog just to eat. Okay, we now are gonna shift into a totally different direction. Oh, by the way, sorry. When we break for dinner, which is gonna be in like 2 hours, when we break for dinner, I'm gonna do a Facebook Live for anyone that wants to tell their story. And we're gonna just wham, bam, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds. So if you wanna be in front of, you know, a few people. I'll just tell you, like, this stupid little video I did a couple days ago in my bedroom with no makeup on, with my sweaty clothes, was 500,000 people within 2 days viewed that video, okay? So what I am saying is it might benefit you a little bit to get your story on that video, okay? That's good exposure, all that stuff. So let's, like, just flood Facebook today with crazy testimonials. And that's something else I would be doing if I were you. If I were you and you've got any kind of a business or you're even looking for a job, just go Facebook Live yourself and say, hey, listen, I'm at an advanced training conference right now. I'm going to tell you what's happened to me since I plugged into this training seminar. Bam. And tell your story off. Or go grab a bunch of other people and just keep it going on your own page and go for it. Okay. All right. So now you are going to become amazing problem solvers. Okay. Problems with people, because you will have problems with people. How many of you live with people? How many of you have given birth to people? How many of you will give birth to people? How many of you work with people? How many of you buy things from people? Wherever there are people, there are problems. Quit being surprised. Did you hear what I said? Quit being surprised when problems arise with people. If you know how to solve problems with people, that has high value in the marketplace. Super high value. When you're able to solve problems at home, you have more harmony at home. So we're going to put you through an exercise right now where you have the opportunity, number one, to attack the problem. Okay? Not from a place of aggression, but you're going to attack it with love, honor, and respect. Love, honor, and respect is the key to restoration and intimacy and loyalty. Did you hear what I just said? Please do not look at me like I'm an entertainer. I am telling you, I am giving you the keys to the kingdom. Don't think that as a religious thing. I don't live in the kingdom of this world. I live in a totally different kingdom. And what I can tell you is you have to think, where does this broke, homeless whore all of a sudden have a following and millions of people knowing her name and her story from all over the world? How do you do that? I'm going to tell you. I've been teaching you all this weekend, teaching you all your first step success. But here's the key. Intimacy breeds loyalty. Intimacy breeds loyalty. It's not the other way around. How do you build intimate relationships in business and with your family? It's learning to solve conflict. It's learning to disarm dissension. It's being the leader who leads straight into the conflict. That's war. It's going straight into the battle, knowing that you have the strategy to win it. You have the strategy to win. It is not a losing proposition. The battle is already won when you have these strategies. So the key is to build loyalty. Loyalty comes through trust. Trust gets built through pain. Trust does not get built through good things. It gets built through pain. Now, pain can be furthered with pain if you don't have the skills. But when you have the skills, you now have the ability to build great intimacy and great loyalty, where you now are moved to a trusted advisor to the people that are around you versus just another 98%er who just loves to gossip, just loves to cause more dissension, that just loves to stir the fiery pot of hell amongst people. So you're going to have to pick which side you want to be on. So the fact is, you are going to have to solve problems with people for the rest of your life. And do you know that most people do not possess this skill? And all it is a skill. That's all it is. It's a skill like brushing your teeth. It's a skill like eating right. It is a skill like working out. It is a skill like budgeting. It's a skill like making money. It's a skill like whatever skill it is that you have. Resolving conflict pays high dollar and yields harmony, peace, trust, and loyalty. You want to build teams. You want to be a leader. You must possess this one skill more than any other skill. Because there will always be problems with people. What most people do when problems arise is they run and hide. That's the first thing. If they don't run and hide and they are a ruby or a sapphire, they egg the fire on with even greater passion, more anger, more resentment, more bitterness, more spreading the fire as far as they can take it. So the emeralds and the pearls, shrink back. Hide, avoid. But the rubies and the sapphires, they love to put fire and more drama on top of whatever the pain point is. Stir in the pot. Did you hear? Did you know? Oh my gosh. We had somebody recently, I can't even believe this. I have a client who has been faithful for 5 years, precious couple, amazing people. They went from absolutely nothing to $65,000 a month. And one of their clients was in the room, and I had mentioned from the stage something about a Corvette. That person texted my client right away and said, "Danny just slaughtered you guys from the stage." I didn't even know they had a Corvette. Didn't even know. Had no idea. I mentioned something about a Corvette. I gave an analogy. I made up an analogy. And right away, someone from their team texted them and said, "Danny just slaughtered you from the stage. She just totally discredited you guys. She was talking about you from the stage." No joke. I'm like, wow. So, of course, the person, because they've been trained, they came to me and say, "Hey, did I do something?" They came to confront the issue. And I'm like, "You guys have a Corvette? What color is it? Dude, how come you didn't take me for a drive?" That was my answer. I want to ride. Freaking love Corvettes. I had no idea they had one. Not a freaking clue. But here, again, pot stirs, amateurs, immature. Pot stirring, immature, amateurs. They stay low, and they stay in a low level of leadership because of their freaking mouth. Looking for offense, trying to spread offense, stir in the pot, stir in the anger, stir in the gossip. Did you hear? Did you hear? So you might make a little money being like that, but I promise you, you ain't gonna keep squat. Every time you spread crap, your credibility goes away. You lose it. You're losing ground. I love this statement that I heard from a multimillionaire years ago. Every time you're slinging mud, you're losing ground.
Nice.
When you're slinging mud, you're losing ground. So we are supposed to be the repairers of the breach. We are the ones that march into battle full force with a strategy that wins every single time. And I promise you the strategy that I'm going to walk you through, I'm not just going to teach it to you, I'm going to actually walk you through the strategy right now, okay? So I'm going to create the environment of a huge problem that we're going to have together, okay? As we walk through this huge problem, then you're going to be given the tools and even a script in your mouth on how you solve the problem. Then you're going to get to the other side of it. We're going to go through a battle together. So guess what? We're going to get bloodied up right now, okay? This is not going to be fun, but this is going to be so worth it, so valuable. Your skill level is going to climb very, very high. You're going to learn something so profound that it's going to cause you to get promoted to where it is that you're supposed to be. Your next position is waiting for you to practice this skill. It is. Your next position is waiting for you to practice this skill. I watch company owners do this all the time. I watch people in high-level management. When there's a conflict, they ignore it. And the conflict kills the business. It kills production. It kills it. No, you got to march straight into it with the right strategy. So let's go through the strategy right now. Pass out the forms, please. Face down. You volunteers know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. Please do not look at the form. It's really important for us to follow directions during this exercise. You will get the most out of it if you follow directions. Now, some of you are going to try to avoid this. Listen to me carefully. If you're going to try to avoid this exercise, you are simply saying, I would like to stay at the level of leadership I'm at right now. I'm good right where I'm at. And that's okay. If that's your decision, I honor that. It's your call. It's your call. But you cannot complain that you cannot complain about where you're at if you're making the choice to stay stuck. Do you hear what I said? You cannot complain about being stuck if you're making the choice to stay there. So in this one exercise is the tipping point exercise. You have an extra seat? Okay, well, scoot in. Is everyone scooting in? Take a, just everyone needs to scoot in, and then it's easy to fill in on the ends is why I'm doing that. Okay, everyone scoot in. No, I'm sorry, scoot this way. This whole row needs to scoot down, please. Hi, guys. Can you see me? Get up off your butts. Move this way. If you get up, then someone else will get up. Cool. Yeah, switch. You guys. Okay. Shh. Thank you. Super cheap in Italy. This is ancient. Like this was super cheap. It's like $30 in Italy. In Italy? Naples? Yeah, super cheap. Wait till you see you tomorrow. All right, who has an open seat? Or not an open seat, or... Okay, see, look behind you, girls. How many do you need? You need one person? If you're not in complete force, please stand up. Not in complete force. Okay, so you two ladies, see right there, there's two people right there. You two gentlemen, can you come over here with these two ladies? Because they have four seats right there. You guys are now complete. How many of you want to go to the next level in your leadership? How many of you want to be the person that people call upon to solve problems? How many of you want to be the person that can do it without anxiety? That you can do it without worry, you can do it without fret, you can do it skillfully and professionally, unemotionally. How many of you want to learn how to do that? That's exactly what I'm going to show you how to do right now. I have done this hundreds of times. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Okay? So I promise you, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. You're going to feel like you can't. That's when you tell your feelings to shut up and go to hell where they belong. Because feelings often lie. The fact is, you've got to learn this skill. Your feelings, if you live your life according to your emotions, you'll never get to where you want to go. So it's time to just go straight into this sucker with everything you got. Here's your instructions. You're going to turn over that piece of paper, and I want you to write five things that you do not appreciate about each person in your group of four. Go. I'm looking for the first 100 people that can follow directions. I'm looking for the first 100 people. Five things you do not appreciate about each person in your group. You don't have to know the people in your group. It don't matter. Just write. Go for it. All righty. Give yourselves a hand. You followed some good directions. All right, sit down. Let's get the party started. Party time. Party. Not yet. Okay. Person number one, raise your hands. Person number two. I see some confusion in the room. Person number one, raise your hands. Two. Three. Four. Let's try it one more time. One, two, three, four. Booyah. You want to write this on the board? You want to write one, two, three, four on the board? I'm so sorry. My jeans are driving me crazy. Okay. I want them to stay up. Okay. Stop. Yes, I have. You ready? Here's how we're going to do this. Person number one and person number two. Person number one and person number two are going to talk about three and four. But hold on. Hold on. We're just creating some office and family politics. That's all. But don't worry, one and two, because three and four are going to talk about you. So here how this is going to go. You have 2 minutes. Listen carefully. You have 2 minutes. Okay, listen. We're going to follow directions like two percenters. We're going to walk through this experience. We're not going to like the experience. We're going to walk through the experience. We're going to do it. We're going into battle. So let's go in this thing and get the best that we can out of it. So one and two, you're going to talk about three and four. Three and four, you're going to talk about one and two. Okay? So you have 2 minutes. On your mark. Get set. Have a blast. Okay. Now... Now we need one and four, two and three. That's the person in front of you, okay? Person in front of you, okay? So one and four, you now are going to create some wonderful office and family politics with three and four. I mean, the other people. Go, 2 minutes. Now, can I please have three and four switch chairs? Three and four, swap. And now...
Quiet, please.
The chair is number three. It's not your body. Okay? So the new number three, raise your hand. Perfect. New number four, raise your hand. You know who you are. I'm so proud of you. Okay. So now the new one and four and the new two and three.
Go.
All right. Excellent. You know what is so interesting. I mean, this is profound. You know, yesterday when we did our listening exercise, I had to stop several times to remind you to smile, to have good eye contact. You must have really learned a new skill of smiling and having good eye contact. Because I didn't have to stop you a single time and tell you. Even when I was teaching on how to tell and sell your story just, you know, an hour ago. I mean, I had to stop you many times, like, and remind you, smile. So you must have learned. Is that it? Is that it? No, that ain't it at all. You guys had more fun doing this than I've seen you have more fun in the last two freaking days. Now, isn't that the craziest thing? I mean, you're all light, you're feeling good, you got a big smile on your face. I don't get it. It's amazing. Oh, well, you're welcome. We'll see if you say that in about 10 minutes. So here's what we did. Ouch. We created an environment that happens often, right? And it seems to be that sometimes there's just what I call a crap stir that just, like, you know, there's just, like, comes up. It's like a tornado comes in the midst of your house or comes in the midst of your office or your sales force or your workplace, right? How many of you have noticed that? And it seems like there could be periods where there's nothing, and then there's times where it's just like, man, it's like a breakout. Like the ones I get on my lip. You're like, ew, Danny. It's like a cold sore. Just all of a sudden, there it is. Bam! You know, your lip is all swollen and you're oozing pus. Has anyone in here ever had a cold sore? I'm so glad I'm not the only one. All right? There's like 10% of us that have. The rest of you are so blessed. Okay, so here's the reality. These things happen. You have to make a choice as to whether or not you're the one that makes them happen or you're the one that disarms them from happening. Okay? And that really is determined by your leadership level. And remember, your income follows your leadership. 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 I dropped that bomb on you at First Steps to Success. So the ones that make the most money are the ones who are able to run straight into this scenario and bring harmony and peace, reconciliation, and restoration. So let me give you a few tips on how to do that. Number one, you have to make sure you've got the right heart and that you're not emotionally engaged in the information, okay? You cannot be emotionally engaged in the information. Maturity is not emotionally engaged in gossip at all. And true maturity in leadership is not afraid of what's being said about them. It's the truth. I had the biggest problem with this. I actually had to leave my hometown because I was really bad with gossip. I left in a 2 days' notice because I said something about somebody and it got back to her and then back to me immediately. And I was terrified for my physical body. I thought I was going to just get the living daylights kicked out of me because of what I said. And what I said was not only not nice, but it was an assumption. It was an assumption. And that's usually how rumors start, is they're just assumptions and they are perceptions. They're misperceptions. It's a tiny bit of information that then is blown out of proportion. But mature leaders know how to stay out of it, number one. And number two, they know how to not get emotionally engaged, but they know how to understand that hurt people hurt other people, number one. They also know and understand, they have the wisdom to understand that this kind of stuff kills production. It does. It kills production. Mature leaders also understand that it has to be addressed. And it has to be addressed with peace. It has to be addressed with giving every party the benefit of the doubt and not taking any of the information personal themselves and not forming a judgment or an opinion on someone's character based on a screw up. Do you understand? Not discounting that person, not now putting this person in this box over here, but creating an environment where it's safe to screw up. And I told you that the two personalities that really have the hardest time with this are rubies and sapphires. Rubies and sapphires have the biggest challenge with this right here, what we just did. Why? They're relational. They like to win. They love drama. And that's all this is drama. Okay? So how do we address it? Number one, I want to see a show of hands. How many of you have a fear of what people think of you? Look around the room. Yeah, look around the room. Is there anyone here that does not have a fear of what people think of you? Okay. There's more people that care about what people think of them than there are that don't. Okay. And fearful people are easy manipulated and easy to control. Really easy to control. So that fear is something that is a weakness that you need to deal with. And it was my absolute greatest weakness. It was my absolute greatest weakness. That anyone that had a perfect stranger, that had a bad opinion of me or would attack my character, think that I was something that I wasn't, misunderstood me, misrepresented me. I'm not kidding you. Well, I retired in 99 when I was pregnant with Micah because of gossip. I walked away from my business. I stopped doing First Steps and creating a dynasty because of one woman. One woman. One immature ruby sapphire woman who I helped go from broke and $60,000 in debt and a broken relationship to $125,000 her very first year in business, paying off all $60,000 worth of debt and restoring her relationships. And she swallowed a big ego pill once she got that much, and then she wanted to compete with me, and then she stole my clients, all with a rumor, all with a rumor. So I went, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm so sick and tired of taking people from the gutter and helping them rise up to the top, and they turn around and they flip me off, stab me in the back, and spread lies about me. I don't need to do this. I don't need the money. Why am I putting my neck out here like this? So for 4 years, I did nothing. And Hans mentioned it earlier. If it wasn't for Hans and JP, they remember me in those 4 years. And it was a bad season for me. And I just convinced myself, I'm just going to raise the kids. You know, I just had baby number 5. I'm good. I'm going to have a garden. That's what I did. I made pies, homemade pasta. I fattened everybody up, and I was completely miserable, absolutely miserable. I was not doing what I was called to do. I wasn't doing what I was made to do. And so I quit my business because of a rumor. That's how low my confidence was. That's how much my identity was locked up in man's opinion of me. Man's opinion of me controlled my life. Now, can you imagine if I didn't get out of retirement? None of us would be here. If it wasn't for the same voice, JP, who was the one who started me in business 28 years ago, along with his friend Mike Noriega, who is also here, so excited, with his son. They both have their sons here. Mike and JP, stand up again. These two guys were not in my life when I was 19. So I tell the story that I got started in business at 19. Those were the two that recruited me into business. They were them. Yep. Yes. Phenomenal. So anyway, they had a major impact on my life. So that same one, JP and Hans, ganged up on me throughout those 4 years when I was retired and finally, like, you know, convinced me that I got to do something. And there was other spiritual things that were going on in my life also that pushed me out of retirement to come back to work. And thus, DannyJohnson.com was started August of 2003. So if you're leadership is in that place where mine was back then in 99, that means that your business is not built on solid ground. Your reputation is not built on solid ground. Who you are is not built on solid ground. It's built on the opinion of somebody else who you can't control other people's opinions. It is also based on the mouths of other people, and you can't control other people's mouths. Isn't that scary to think about? So your entire identity is wrapped up in the approval of man, who you cannot control. You can't control how people think about you at all. And not only that, they don't know you. And so that means that you've given your whole identity, everything that you are, to another person that you might know or that you might not know. It might be even perfect strangers that you care so much about what they think of you. So I want it for more than half of the room that this is an area where, you know, your heart starts racing. When you hear that maybe somebody has a bad opinion of you, you're like, oh my gosh, your throat starts locking up. You start sweating, and now you're obsessing over what they think of you. How many of you go through this? You obsess over it? Well, I just want to walk you through this sweet little exercise. Basically, those very words that other person is speaking or saying behind your back is pretty much just a bunch of crap. That's all it is. Ooh, it's just a big pile. Hopefully what you left in the toilet this morning or this afternoon. It's a little slimy. Doesn't smell so good. Little messy. Oop, sorry. That one slipped out. Want some? You sure? I have some extra. So when you decide to take on the crap that comes out of somebody else's heart, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you choose to take on the words that are flowing out of somebody else's heart, it is attacking your character. I want to bite. Anybody want to bite? Tell me why. Can somebody tell me why? Should I take a bite?
No. Oh my God! Please stop! Please stop!
Why should I not take a bite? Someone says because it's caca. It's not a chocolate pretzel. It's not a chocolate pretzel. That sounds really good about right about now. Don't I dare. Why? Why would you advise me not to take a bite out of crap?
Because it's bad for you.
Because it's bad for you. It's toxic. It's a poison. That's why. It's a poison. So when poison comes out of somebody else's mouth to attack your character, and that person doesn't even know you, doesn't even know really who you are. No, but Danny, it was my husband that said it. It's a poison that is within that person that speaks it. It doesn't mean you are to receive it. It doesn't mean that you are to ingest it. It doesn't mean that you are to own it. Other people own their own feelings, their own opinions, their own perceptions. Those opinions, feelings, and perceptions do not shape who you are. You have the choice. Words are seed. And in this case, words are crap. Including the words that you all just played together with sharing with each other, right? That's all just a bunch of crap. It's a poison. And the reason why we would not willingly reach down into our toilet bowls after we do our morning constitution, if we are not constipated, the reason why we don't fish it out with a kitty litter pooper scooper and take a bite out of it is why? Because it's toxic and it will kill us. So maturity and a healthy person would say, that's their opinion that they own. That's from them. They can keep it. I don't need to eat it. So remember yesterday we talked about words being seed, right? Seed's been planted in you. You have been programmed. Follow the fruit to the root, right? Okay. We've built orchards of fear and anxiety and worry and pressure based on seed that's been planted. Why? Because you weren't paying attention to the seed when it was being planted in you. Leaving here this week, and I want your eyes to be wide open, that you pay very close attention to the words that leave your mouth and the ones you choose to receive inside of you. Remember yesterday when we did the listening exercise and it was time to give three encouraging words, three things that the group admired about you for you to say, thank you, I receive that. Why? Because words are seed, and you now have the power to see the power of the word and to choose to receive the good, edifying, encouraging, positive, life-giving words, and to also choose to not receive the words that are about to be talked about, because it's confession time. So as mature leaders, when this kind of a thing arises, you got to march straight into the center of it and call a meeting. That if gossip has busted out amongst your staff, your sales force, your church, a given, or your family, okay, because all those places get it, the mature leader is going to come into that situation with restoration as the goal and the objective. That has to be on the forefront of your mind. Is restoration is the goal here. It is not to get a confession out of anybody. It is also not to find out who was wrong and who was right. It is not to take up a defense for anyone or to get offended by anyone. The objective, the goal with confronting issues is restoration. That's always the goal. And if that is your goal, guess what's going to be the outcome of that meeting? Restoration. Whatever it is that your goal is what you're going to get out of it. How many of you have had the courage to march into a situation like this and confront issues? But how many of you, your goal was to get a confession? How many of you, it was to prove that someone was wrong? Please tell me what the outcome of those meetings are. There's more conflict. There's more conflict and there's more contention. There's more strife. Okay? There's a major grudge. There's all kinds of resentment. Both parties walk away saying they were right and the other person's an idiot. So did we solve the problem? No. You did a good job having the courage to confront the issue. You just had the wrong objective. So the correct objective to have is restoration. So the next time this happens in the family, and by the way, you know that most people never confront these issues in family? They never do. We have family meetings. That when I see even our Hans sees that any one of our kids when they were in the home and even when they're not, that we could see that something's churning inside of them, we're going to call a family meeting. We're going to say, let's get together. There was a season where we went through a really hard, hard time 3-4 years ago that was a really hard, hard, hard season for our family. And we had many family meetings. We had many times where the issues had to be confronted. And they were not pretty and they were not fun. But I will tell you, the restoration that has come out of those, the trust, the intimacy, the ability for us to be able to communicate, to share our feelings, to own our feelings, our kids said some really hard things to us. And we had to just let them be able to share what they needed to say. We had to say what we had to say about each other. And we ended that conversation with forgiveness and with restoration. And owning whatever part we played, whatever part we played personally in creating the mess, we had to own that ourselves. Each individually had to own it ourselves. So what that does when a leader goes into the situation looking for restoration to be the objective, it gives everyone the opportunity to rise in their maturity. Number two, it gives everybody the opportunity to be heard. And there's deep wounds that are created when people don't feel that they're heard. This is why form is so important. This is why going in with the objective of restoration is so important. Here's another thing that's really important. People's feelings are just feelings. It's evidence of an emotion in the moment. Do you hear me? That's all it is. That's it. It's a moment. It is not law. It is not a continuous forever thing. It's not an always thing. Even though they will say, you always do this. That's how they feel in the moment. Because I've had people say to me, the same people say to me, and you will have the same people say it to you. Some of you right now, you're in a season with your kids or family members that will come to you and say, oh, I just love you so much. I always can talk to you. I feel so safe with you. I just love the way you always encourage me. I'm just so grateful for you. And that same exact person, a year later, a month later, 2 weeks later, will say the exact opposite. I have never been able to trust you. I have never been able to talk to you. You're the hardest person to talk to. The same exact person. Okay, why? Because that is how they are feeling in the moment. Now, I have a question for you. Do you have feelings in the moment? Should they be able to have feelings in the moment? So if we've had feelings in the moment and we've said things that we have regretted, do you think it's possible that somebody else might say things that they have regretted and have feelings in the moment? Yes. So it's allowing somebody else the freedom to be human. And what creates you to be the safe place is it's letting them talk. And that's what creates intimacy, and that's what creates trust. Make sense? But you have to be willing to walk through that hard conversation. Number four, accusation needs to be out of the equation. Accusation has to be out of the equation. When my kids were little and in the home, I write about this in Grooming the Next Generation for Success. I learned how to do this in business. I did the same exact skill with my kids. Whenever one would try to come and tell on the other, so-and-so did, there I took my toy again. They always do this to me. I have a question. How many of you have ever said, you always do this to me? And look at someone just said, it's true. Okay, well, let's look at the word always. Number one, that's an absolute. It means 100% of the time. It's an absolute. Always, never. Those are absolutes. There's only one that lives in the absolute realm that isn't always or a never. And that's our God. None of us always or never do anything. Always or never. I do this even with my grandchildren. Well, he always says that. Really? So tell me. So he said it today. Yeah. Did he say it yesterday? No. What about the day before? No. Last week? No. When was the last time he said this? So is it more like sometimes? Is it more like sometimes instead of always? Or is it often? So it usually comes to once in a while. It's usually once in a while. But the accuser of the brethren is a liar. And the accuser of the brethren speaks in absolutes. The accuser in your family that sometimes uses your mouth to do the accusing speaks in absolutes. Always or never. All the time. I used to speak that way a lot. Frick. Disgusting. And it really hurt my marriage. It really did. See, when Hans and I would have a conflict, it was always, all the time. This happens all the time. Every time. Every time. Yeah, and then I started to analyze when was the last time. And maybe 2 weeks before. So is 2 weeks before always? No. Then we started to keep a calendar. That every time we screwed up, we put an X in the box where we screwed up. A squiggly X. On the days that we didn't screw up, it was a straight X. Guess what we found out? Oh, we had a little bit of contention once every 30 days. But if you would ask me, I would say we fight all the time. We didn't fight all the time. It was once every 30 days. But on that note, I know I did look at that calendar too. Thanks. He's like, is it a certain time of the month that this happened? Once I tracked it and I saw it was like 6 months in a row, it was every 30 days. I'm like, oh crap. Is it all me? So I checked my little calendar tracker thing and no, it wasn't. Nowhere near, even within 2 weeks. It made me feel a little better. But it didn't change the fact that it was happening every 30 days. And you know why it was happening every 30 days? Because we tolerated it. Because we tolerated it. Because that's what was acceptable to us. Because it was acceptable to us to fight every 30 days, we fought every 30 days. As soon as we said, no more, we're done with the every 30 days. Can we just set a goal to make it 60? 60 would be a huge improvement. But it was really amazing when we started tracking. We found that we didn't fight very much. 12 fights a year. It's not that much with 365 days. The ratio's pretty darn good. But the accuser of the brethren says what? We fight all the time, every time. You always do this, or you never do this. And it's a bunch of lies. So you have to decide who is going to use your mouth, the giver of life or the accuser. And if the accuser is using somebody else's mouth in your life that you love or that you work with, you have to decide whether or not you're going to receive the seed from the accuser. Whether or not you're going to take a bite from the accuser, or you're going to choose to receive life and give life. Whoever's being used to be the accuser obviously is hurting. So what's going to bring restoration is healing. Healing brings restoration. What brings healing? Give people the opportunity to say what they need to say. Get it off of their chest. Don't get offended. Don't get hurt. Don't freak out. Don't run out of the room. Let them feel. Give them a chance to feel. Give them a chance to have the opinion. Give them the chance to say what they got to say. And then if you have to leave the room and cry your eyes out, go for it. Yeah, if you need to get rid of it, for me, it's prayer. Like, go to my closet. Okay, God, here you go. Here's the offering of crap. And here's another thing. Search my heart. If any of this is true, some of this stings. I don't want it to sting anymore. So I got to fix this. Something has to be fixed in me so that this doesn't torment me anymore. So I have to tell you, that was all the way back in 2003 that I decided that this was not going to control my life anymore. And it has not controlled my life anymore. I used to avoid conflict. I used to run from it. I used to try to ignore whatever the gossip was. And I've lost two businesses because of gossip. Yep, two businesses gone. I've watched gossip kill a business faster than the FDA and the FTC combined. The government doesn't hold a candle to a rumor worm. Doesn't hold a candle to them. A rumor worm with a leader who gets offended easily is a great path of destruction. Great path of destruction. So, we are going to confront the issue right now, okay? So I'm going to give you some scripting that you're going to use. You're going to get a quick outline that the next time this pops up in your family, how many of you have something like this going on in your family now? Awesome. Isn't that so perfect? That sounded like a duck. Okay, so here's how this is going to go. Pay attention. Really important. First off, where did you go? You went this way. You're going to have the opportunity to confront the issue with each other. Actually, what you're going to do is you're going to have the opportunity to make a confession to each other. That's what real leadership will do. That when you screw up, you go straight in and you make it right. You can tell sometimes. How many of you can tell when you've screwed up? Right? The relationship changes a little bit. The coworker starts ignoring you, right? Something starts happening, right? Whether you screwed up or somebody else planted a seed of dissension, right? Somebody else planted a seed of dissension, you can feel it in the room, right? Isn't that amazing? You have a discerner inside of you, and you can discern where the air all of a sudden is thick. So this by far is what I know to be, and what I've interviewed and studied millionaires and successful people, they understand how to solve this problem. So number one is that the greatest leaders in the world will confess their own mistakes. They will confess their mistakes. Owning responsibility, taking responsibility for their failure. Number two, they are profound at not receiving other people's crap. It's amazing. Number three, this is why you get the MP3. Number three, they are profound at not receiving other people's crap. They don't get offended by somebody else's offense. Okay? It's immature people that get offended. Mature people do not get offended. Number three is they take the opportunity to quickly forgive, release, and bless. It is so profound to me as I've been able to study powerful leadership and see how they choose not to jump in the mud. They don't eat the crap. They don't get their feelings hurt. It's really amazing. And it's not a I'm stronger than you think. No, it's a real heart issue. They're very secure with themselves. When we are insecure, we get offended. Insecure people are easily offended. Gossip kills production, kills leadership, kills your reputation if you're the one spreading it, kills trust, kills the person you're talking about, it kills the one listening, and it kills your confidence. It clouds your vision, and it robs your bank account. Okay? So, here's how we're going to do this. You're going to have the opportunity to approach the person that you were talking about. So, for example, one is going to confess to two. And four is going to confess to three. And what's going to happen is, let me give you your basic outline about how to do this. You're going to go to that person and you're going to say, I have to tell you something that I've done that I'm not proud of. And before it gets to you inaccurately, I want to make sure that you hear it straight from me. What? You will say, I have participated with something that I'm not proud of. And before it gets blown way out of proportion, I want you to hear it straight from me. I have participated in saying some things that are terrible. I want to ask you to forgive me. I also allowed myself to hear some things that I am not proud of. It was wrong, and I completely screwed up. So that's number one, is that you are going to them to confront the issue, to say, please forgive me. I take full responsibility. I really screwed up. I participated in listening and saying things that I am not proud of and that were wrong. You got to own it. Now look, right now, some of you, ego is wrestling with you saying, no, Danny made me do it. That is deflecting responsibility, which is immaturity. Owning it, taking the responsibility of your part, doesn't matter how it came down, owning it. I did this and I was wrong. That is maturity. And that is security. You're secure with your own self knowing your part in it. Not deflecting, not justifying, not pushing the responsibility on somebody else, not giving an excuse. Own it. I'm really sorry. I ask you to forgive me. I have participated with the exchange of some words that I am not proud of, listening as well as saying things that were just flat out wrong. And I'm very sorry, and I want to ask you to forgive me. And I want to make sure you hear it straight from me before you hear it blown out of proportion from somebody else. Okay? However which way that you want to say those words, you use your own words. But the point is, no justifying, no deflecting, no pushing the blame onto somebody else. Own it. Guess what? There's freedom in ownership. There's freedom in ownership. How many of you have ever had a confession, somebody confessed something to you, but they didn't own it? They deflected it, they gave excuses, and they justified. All that does is tick you off. That's all it does is make you mad. Okay? That's it. So, in this example, you're going to do number one, please forgive me. I take full responsibility for what I have said and what I listened to, and it was wrong. Here's number two. If you would like, I will share with you what I said. If you prefer not to hear it, it's your call, and you get an answer from them. But just know that it was bad, and I was wrong. Okay? So you can give that person the opportunity to hear what you said, and you, as gently as you possibly can, share with them what you said. Number three is now you edify that person. And here's the bridge of the statement to edify. The truth is, and now you build the person up. The truth is, I feel that you're awesome. Look at what you invested in yourself to get here this weekend. Look at all the sacrifices you made. It's obvious that your family and your future is important and that you want to do something great with your life. The fact is, I respect you for doing that. And you inspire me by even being here with all of us. So you edify the person. Number four, you ask the closing question, which is, so will you forgive me for what I have done? And you let them answer. Number five, you ask for accountability. And you say, I'm wondering if you would be willing to hold me accountable if you ever hear me say anything about any other person. Will you call me out on it? Correct me, because I want to grow in my leadership and I want to be a more trustworthy person. Sometimes I do these things and I don't even realize I'm doing it. So would you be willing to hold me accountable? Okay, so number one, please forgive me. I take full responsibility. What I've done is wrong. I'm coming to you first just so things don't get blown out of proportion. I've participated in listening and speaking things that are just flat out wrong. Number two, would you like to know what it is that I said, or would you prefer that I don't? Let them say yes or no. If they say yes, then you go ahead and gently say what you said. Number three is edify. The bridge statement is, the truth is, build them up. Edify them. Tell them what you respect about them and admire about them. Number four, closing question. Will you forgive me for what I have done? You wait for that answer. Number five, would you be willing that if you ever hear me say anything about anybody, please call me out on it. I give you permission to hold me accountable. And that's it. Okay? So the person receiving the confession, you want to write this down also because you're going to have the opportunity to receive the confession as well. Number one, what is the obvious thing that you should say when somebody asks you to forgive them? What else? You owe me nothing, right? Number two, thank them. Thank you for having the courage to come to me and confess. I will gladly hold you accountable, is number three. Number four, ask them for accountability as well. Do you know what that does? Watch. I will gladly hold you accountable, and I ask that you hold me accountable too, because I have also participated in the same thing. And it's wrong. And I want to grow in my leadership, and I don't ever want to be in this position again. Number five, edify them back. So I'm really proud of you for having the courage to say this. It's a great sign of leadership, and I wish more people were like you. And I also am very proud of you for being here. You've made an investment to grow, to have a better future, to be greater with your family and your career. You want to make a difference in this world by working harder on you. So I respect you tremendously for just being here this weekend. And that's it. So there's five steps on each side, okay? So person number one, you're going to be the first one to confess. You're going to have 2 minutes to do this. You have a script. A 2 minute bell is going to ring. Hold on. 2 minute bell is going to ring. And then there's going to be 30 seconds for person number two to say, I'll give you 1 minute. I release you. I forgive you. You owe me nothing. And go through your five steps, okay? So same with, so one confesses to two and four confesses to three. Go. Good job. Good job. Okay, next. Now I want two to use this opportunity because you know you said things about one. Use this opportunity to go through that same script and vice versa. Meaning, and three, it's your turn to confess to four. Two, it's your turn to confess to one. So use the first script that I just gave you. Go. Now, we're going to go through a different form of the same exercise, okay? First of all, how many of you chose to hear what was said about you? Wow! Hold on. That is phenomenal. Now listen to me. How many of you are the ones that generally you hate, like it buries you to know that somebody said something bad about you? Like it, and you are also the one. So hold on a second. Remember the question I asked earlier. How many of you that it just like really is damaging to you to hear that someone has had a bad opinion of you? Okay. And then who are the ones you could care less what anyone thinks? Okay, so of you, of the first ones, the ones that is in the past damaged you, how many of you wanted to hear what was said? Give those freaking people a hand. That's courage. That's courage. That's growth. Now, listen to me right now. This is so important. I'm about to just do a mic drop. Ready? Feedback is not an attack. Feedback is not an attack. Feedback gives you the path to success. somewhere down the line, someone told you that someone's opinion was more than an opinion. It's just feedback. That's all it is. Feedback is not an attack against your character. It's just feedback. And guess what? If you want to have great success, you need feedback. Feedback is what helps keep you on track. Feedback is what helps you to serve the people that you're trying to serve and to grow with. Feedback is what is necessary to learn how to live harmoniously with each other. Make sense? You need feedback with your spouse. You need feedback with your kids. You need feedback with the coworkers that you have. You need feedback after you're done doing a meeting with your team or with your staff. Tell me how you took that. I want to hear what you got out of that. I want to hear how you heard that. That's so that you can learn how they hear. That's how you can learn how they think. Learn how other people think, and you will never have a problem closing. You will never have a problem getting things done. You will never have a problem moving a team collectively together towards a common goal. But it's when you just try to keep your opinion shoved down people's throats, that's when you fail. That's when people are against you. So feedback is not an attack. It's the path to success. Look for the feedback. It's the same with working out. If you guys were at the last Dynasty, yeah. Okay, so I started working out, you can't really call what I did a year ago that, but anyway, I started working out last August, basically, lifting weights, right? And in Tom Venuto's book, who I think is the most brilliant man to write a book ever, 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 Tom Venuto, I have been in the nutrition business for 25 years. I got slaughtered in that book, and it was awesome. But one of the things he talks about in that book is about feedback. If you have a physical goal, okay, so mine is building muscle right now, right? So there's certain things that I have to track. And my tracking weekly is feedback to me. It used to be, if the scale or my body fat test doesn't say what I want it to say, it used to be, F it. I'm done. I quit. It's not working. No, it's that what I ate last week and what I lifted last week didn't work. That doesn't mean throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's the feedback. Okay, so what did I add to my diet last week that didn't move the body fat percentage? Oh, I probably shouldn't have had those donuts. Or whatever, right? Whatever it is. Whether I didn't get enough fat in my diet, which is the case these days, or I had whatever. Too much wine on Shabbat. It's feedback. Do you understand? And so the scale and the body fat test for me is feedback. Here's another thing, is the weights are a feedback for me. That if I'm not tracking, I don't see if I'm actually getting stronger. And if I'm not getting stronger, I get discouraged. So remember Hans was talking about the system? Having a system in place that moves you forward one step at a time? That's exactly what Tom Venuto's book did for me, The Fitness Atheist. That now I am going to walk, I'm confessing it to you to hold myself accountable, I am going to walk on the bodybuilding stage in 2 years. I am going to enter a fitness contest by the time I'm 50 years old. I am going to humiliate myself, embarrass myself, and be before a crowd of people that I have once did not like at all and harshly judged. And why am I doing this? Because it sucks. That's why I'm doing this. I'm like, why would you do that? That sucks because everything's too easy right now. Nothing's pressing against me. There's no need for diligence in anything that I'm doing right now. Everything's too easy. Everything's on a flow. Everything's in a system. Everything's just working. It takes no faith to live like that. There's no faith in that. There's no faith if you're not scared. There's no faith if you're not anxious. There's no faith if it's easy. And if I'm not feeding my faith, I am growing in my doubt. I'm getting complacent. I'm getting apathetic. I'm getting lazy. I'm becoming a procrastinator. I'm opening the door to fear. So if I'm not exercising faith, then guess what? It's going to take everything I got. A, to keep working out. I hate working out. What's going to make me do it? I have a goal that is impossible that I cannot do by myself. Every single day before I pick up those stupid weights, I pray, Father, help me. You said to crucify my flesh. That's what I'm doing. It's a crucifixion. It's a dying to myself. I hate it. Just like I hated picking up the phone 28 years ago. Just like I hated reading a script 27 years ago. Just like I hated speaking in front of a group 27 years ago. Just like I hated paying off debt. Just like I hated closing deals. And I sucked at all of those things. But those things caused me to have faith, made me use faith, made me trust God, made me not trust in my own screwed up lack abilities. So at this point in stages of my life, I have to find things that are hard that I don't want to do just to exercise my faith. You lucky suckers. Be grateful you have a big problem you have to solve. Because it takes faith to solve problems. When there is no problems, you're not using faith. And Hebrews 11:6 is it's impossible to please God without faith. If you're on easy street, you ain't walking by faith. You're walking by sight. Faith is a blast. What happened? That's how my dad says it. What happened? So here's the next one. Yeah, it's really funny. I had some major things I had to confront 4 years ago amongst some people that were on my staff, and I happened to be on the phone with my attorney, and my attorney goes, oh, Danny, listen, I can totally do that for you. I'm like, no, this stuff is easy for me. He's like, really? Yeah, it's kind of fun. I'm walking into an executive meeting. I got some harsh things that I have to confront, some really hard things. Somebody might get fired. It was fun. I love these conversations. Okay, how many years ago did I hate this stuff? How many years ago did I run away from this stuff? Do you understand? I used to run from confrontation. I used to hide from other people who did not share my opinion. Now it's like, come on, let's talk. I want to learn. I want to hear how you think. I want to hear what your perspective is. I want to hear what your objective is. Super exciting. Super fun. All right, so here's how this is going to go. Because 1 and 2 have now confessed to each other, and so has 3 and 4, all right? Y'all know that y'all talked about somebody else that's across the aisle, right? So now here's what you're going to have the opportunity to do. You're going to grab the pair you grew through this exercise, and now you are going to go to the person that you know said some things about you. So person number 1 is going to contact person number 4. Person number 3 is going to contact person number 2 is going to go to number 3. And here's your script. Okay? You're learning 2 different ways of doing this. So the first way you just learned is you did something wrong, you're going to make the confession, right? This scenario is you heard that somebody else did you wrong, and now you need to go confront the issue. Can you see the difference in the scenario? Okay, how many of you have had that scenario that you should go talk to that person, and how many of you don't? Okay, how many of you do, and when you do, you attack? You attack to get a confession and to prove someone was wrong. What should the objective be? Restoration. If the objective is restoration, now we have created intimacy, because that's an intimate conversation. Tough places. Tough conversations create intimacy. What gets birthed out of intimacy? Trust and loyalty. Who wants loyalty? There's only one way to get it. And it isn't buying gifts all the time. That's manipulation. It's trying to buy people's love. It's dealing with the hard crap is how you do it. I'm looking forward to the day that you aren't afraid to deal with hard stuff anymore. I'm looking forward to the day that you are not afraid to solve people problems to where you're like, I got this. This is simple stuff, man. No problem. I did last night. Amen. I did last night. I did last night. I did last night. I did last night. Absolutely. Okay. So here is how you're going to do it. So person number 1 and person number 2, here is your script. With love, with restoration as the objective, I wanted to give you a heads up on some private information that came to me. And first off, I want you to edify them. Okay, so the first statement is a disarming statement. Number 1, disarm. Number 2, edify. So the disarming statement was, I wanted to give you a heads up on some information that was brought to me. That's a very disarming statement. I want to give you a heads up. So you'd be really casual about it, not hurt about it, not offended about it, okay? Just, hey, I wanted to give you a heads up. Number two, edify. Who do you edify? You edify the person that's been caught in the act of gossiping. You're like, what? Yeah, you want to edify that person. By the way, where is all this information from? The Bible. All of this is scripture. It's a script of the scripture. It really is. That's what this is. Come on. Jesus is being falsely accused. What does he do? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's hilarious. He's on the cross next to two thieves. One that is mocking him. The other. And who's he dying for? Both of them. He's dying for the mocker, and he's dying for the one, for the humble one. Dying for both. So that's humility. You can take a deep breath, sir, right over there. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who is he saying that about? Excuse me? Say me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was saying that about you, and he was saying that about me. So that's how you enter into this confrontation. With straight up forgiveness, the right heart, disarming. Hey, I wanted to give you a heads up. Come on, can you say that with me? Hey, I wanted to give you a heads up. Okay, smile, eye contact, acceptance. Hey, I just want to give you a heads up. Now, number two, you're going to edify that person. Instead of doing what a 98%er wants to do, somebody that's insecure wants to do, what do they want to do? They want to attack. Nope, don't attack. You're going to win. Did you hear me? Win instead of attack. Did you hear me? Win instead of attack. So now you edify them. First off, that's how you edify. Start with, first off, can you say it? First, hey, you forgot your hand. Go like this. Hey, first off, you got to, you nod your head. Okay, look at the screen. I'll show you how to say first off. Okay, first off. Okay, first off. Okay, first off. Those in the room that share my African blood, they got that already. First off, okay? First off, okay? First off, and now you build them up. I just want to tell you how proud I am that you're here. You obviously are somebody that is striving for that 2%. You believe in your family. You believe in your future. You're working hard on yourself. It takes a lot of courage to do that. Not a lot of people are willing to do that. It's obvious. But you're here, and that's huge. It says a lot about your character. Number three, address the issue. How you can address the issue is first give an invitation for them to confront the issue. Here's how you do that. So the bridge to the invitation is this. So after you build them up, you say, after you say, I'm really proud of you for being here. I think it's so good to know you, which is why I wanted to ask you if there's anything I have done to offend you or upset you in any way. By the way, everything that I'm giving you is exactly what I do, exact scripts that I do. I'm not teaching you something I don't do. Okay, so after you edify, here's your bridge, your invitation for the confession is, which is why I wanted to ask you, if there's anything that I've done to hurt or offend you or upset you in any way. This is their opportunity. Now, sometimes I say, oh, no, not at all. But some people will say that. So if they say that, then you can say, well, it's been brought to my attention that I have. And I understand that there were some words exchanged with, and you know the name of the person in the circle. There were some words that were exchanged to so-and-so and so-and-so. So I just wanted to get the opportunity to clear the air. And leave that, because that you're confronting the issue. Now leave it with edifying again. So I want you to know that even though I know there are some words that are said, I still respect you. I understand that we all get ourselves in situations that maybe we're not proud of. I know I have. Confess that for yourself. I have found myself literally minutes ago in the same scenario. Right? So I just want to make sure there's not going to be any bad blood between the two of us. I just want to make sure there's not bad blood between the two of us. Okay? All right. So that's person number one. That's your script. And person number two, that's your script. All right? Now, person number three and four, you're going to give a response. You can choose, it's your choice in this scenario, to say yes or no. No, nothing's wrong. No, I'm good. Or you can choose to say, actually, you didn't do anything to upset me, but I definitely was an idiot and I said some things. And I'm really sorry. So then what script do you use? The one you already got. Okay, the one that you got before on the first confession route. All right, so we're clear. So number one, you disarm. What do we say? Let's say it together. I wanted to give you a heads up on some private information that was brought to me. Number two, edify. What is it? Come on, give it to me. First off, now build them up. Number three, give the invitation for the confession, which is why I wanted to talk with you. Is there anything I've done that may have offended you or upset you in any way? And you let him answer the question. Okay? All right. If they say, no, nope. Okay, well, there were some things that were brought to my attention, and I just want you to know that I respect you either way, because I just kind of found myself in the same exact scenario just minutes ago. And I've really screwed up, so I want to give you the opportunity to say whatever it is that you need to say. And it won't change how I feel about you. And that's it. Ready? Number one and number two. Number one, talk to four. Number two, talk to three. Go. Hey, you guys. We are live on Facebook. I was just telling them what skill you are developing right this very minute. And so I just said I have to pause for a second because I have to give you guys the next set of instructions. All right, so how many of you came to that person and you confronted them? Okay. You gave the script that I gave you, all right? And how many of you that you received the confrontation, you made your confession? Good job. Good job. Give those people a hand that said, all right, I'm going to take advantage of that the first time versus saying no. Nothing's wrong. No problem. Okay. All right. So now the next set of instructions will be, did you go through that second strip, the second script of please forgive me? Okay. I'm not going to give it because we're right here. They don't need to know what we're talking about here. All right. Cool. Okay. So next thing that we're going to do, so we just had one confront four and two confront three. Okay, so now let's switch it the other way. All right, so you got 2 minutes, you're going to use the same script. So you're going to come to them, right, and say, you know, some things were brought to my attention too. Go for it. Who wanted to hear what was said? Meaning the new group. Because some of you just had the opportunity to confess, all right, yes, I said some things. You went to that other script. How many of you asked to hear what was said about you? How many of you did not? You don't want to know. And guess what? That's okay. That's okay. If you don't want to know, that's okay. Now, the important thing is that when you choose not to know, don't let that become obsessive thinking for you. Like, I wonder what they said. I wonder what it was. I wonder, because that does happen to some of us. And we get obsessive wondering what it is. And I'm going to tell you right now, my knee-jerk reaction to when I start having those obsessive thoughts trying to come to me of wondering how it's going to go or what they say and, you know, gosh, if only they knew, whatever. When that starts happening, I'm not kidding you. Right away, I go straight into prayer. That's my weapon. I go straight into prayer and I say, God, you know them, you know me. We're all flawed. I choose to forgive and I leave it right here with you. And I'm not going to pick this sucker up again. I completely release them. I completely release whatever word it was that was spoken, and I choose not to eat it. I choose not to receive it. I choose not to be any part of it at all. I don't want anything to do with it. And I quickly go get my head into a different place. And for me, that's going to be a place that, for me, it doesn't mean it has to be for you, but for me, it's put some worship music on. And I start to praise the God that I serve, that he, my identity is in him. My identity is not in somebody else's broken heart. My identity is not in somebody else's broken feelings or emotions in the moment. My identity is in him. And so I go to the very place where I'm going to wash over myself with the words that I need to hear that are going to help me stay secure in who I am. I am not a product of the people. I'm a product of my Father in heaven who has identified me as his daughter, a daughter of Zion, chosen for such a time as this. And I have to make sure that I fill myself with that kind of stuff when I know bad things have been said about me. So that's my weapon. That's my strategy. You come up with your own strategy. If you don't have a strategy, you're in trouble. If you don't have a system for dealing with this, you're in trouble. We have questions to pass out, right? Are the questions on the back of the sheet? Nope, they're not. Okay, that's for a reason. Huh? You have the other person? Sorry. Yes, switch. I apologize. She's like, I gotta get this cleaned out. You're right. There's one more confession to do. All right, I'm going to leave it up to you of how you want to address it, okay? So person number we're going to let person 4 and 3 be in control, and you guys can start this, and I'm giving you the opportunity to lead it whichever way you want. So if you want to say, if you want to do the confrontation, hey, some things have been brought to my attention, if you want to practice that one, you can, and then you guys will complete it accordingly. Or if you want to do it the other way, come to the person and say, hey, listen, I've participated in some things that I'm not proud of. You go ahead and be the person that leads it, all right? And then we'll have the two-minute one. It'll be 3 minutes total for the entire round, no matter what. On your mark, get set, go. Okay, so you had the opportunity to confront the issue and or confess what you did. How many of you completed the cycle? How many of you got forgiveness from all 4 parties? Three. You went through all 3 people, a confession or whatever. Perfect. Now if we can pass out the questions, that would be awesome. While they're passing them out, give yourselves a hand. Awesome job. I have a question for you. Did you learn anything? How many of you were able, in hearing the words that were spoken, how many of you were able to leave them outside of you? That you were able to not receive it. Like you did not internalize it. You did not take offense, right? You did not allow it to hurt you, but you left the words just right there in the middle. Those words belong to someone else. Those words do not belong to you, right? Those words do not define you, right? Somebody else's words do not define you unless you give power and agree to them, right? That's the only way they define you is if you agree with the words. And you're in control of what you agree with. All right, so please take 3 minutes to answer the questions that were just passed out to you. It's a very important debrief time. We're going to do our last exercise for the evening. This one is incredibly powerful. Please, team, pass out appreciation and encouragement. As this exercise is being passed out to you, I want to tell you that this particular skill set that you're about to develop, in the beginning, I really sucked at it. as much as some people in my life don't believe this about me, those who have really gotten to know me believe it and understand it. My primary gem is an emerald. I was definitely, the environment I grew up in had a lot of hostility and anger, definitely developed my ruby thing, for sure. And it was anger is what it was. I can't say it's ruby, it was just anger. But anyway, my natural tendency is to think negatively and to see what's wrong in a situation. That's where my brain goes first. And I can very easily camp out for weeks at a time on everything that is very negative and very wrong and what's not going right. So I have had to work very, very hard to point my mind in the opposite direction. Why? Largely because of the wounds from my past, that it's kind of detrimental to have my personality and my past. Do you understand? If a sapphire had my past, they still are going to make lemonade out of the lemons. But not me. Not me at all. So my natural personality is going to be very resentful and very bitter and very hateful and angry. And so, and have fits of rage, because my secondary is a fits of rager person. I really was bad at this. Really, really bad at this. And so if I could be so bad at encouraging people and finding anything good to say about people, so can you. I had every reason to always say bad things about everybody. And it really is a true testimony of my God and how he has delivered me of so much hatred, so much malice, so many suicidal thoughts and just wanting to die and wanting other people to die, wishing death on other people. That is not me anymore. I don't have any of this thing that I want to be vindicated and I demand an apology from somebody. That is the furthest thing from my heart at all. Thank God. And it is only because of him, no question. But this exercise, this, by the way, is a spiritual gift. This gift of encouragement is in the Bible. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift of encouragement also feeds motivation. People are motivated by encouragement. All personality gems are motivated by encouragement. However, each gem receives encouragement in a very different way. Okay? All the gems receive encouragement in a different way. So, for example, when my husband said from the stage that she is the most diligent person I've ever known, you have no idea what that means to me. Why? Well, emeralds are diligent, and that's a really big thing to us. We're really diligent, super consistent, and that can drive him crazy also. So, because he really largely lives a lot like a sapphire. And so diligence, for him to say that, you know, that used to be something that drove him crazy, that I'm diligent. It used to be like, quit telling me what to do. You know, he would say, honey, can you help me take my vitamins? Like, can you remind me every day to take my vitamins? So then I would do it, and he'd go, stop telling me what to do. Like, so I'm the consistent person in the house, and he's the disruptor. He's the, like, if there's a routine, he wants to change it. If there's a schedule, he wants to break it. If there's a rule, he wants to break it. He wants to redefine it and not follow it. That is the max of who he is. And I love all of that about him. When we sit down and we write down what we love about each other, it's hilarious. It's all the things that drive each other crazy. Seriously. It's all the things, everything that I love about him scares the crap out of me. It's like, number one, he's risky. He's adventurous. I love that about him. And at the same time, it scares the crap out of me. It really does, but I would never want to change that in him, okay? So anyway, and not only that, but I understand that that's important to him. He loves being adventurous. He loves being the rule breaker. He loves being the disruptor. He laughs about it. It's like fun. It's like, how can I screw this up? And it used to just drive me crazy. Like, why can't things stay the same? We have a schedule. Can we stick to that? Anyway. Say what? Preach in your language. You and I could live together. That's what you're saying? We would never have a fight. We'd just live in peace and harmony all the time. Except for the fact that emeralds love to argue. Anyway. And do it well. Yes, we do it well. All right, with facts. Okay, so this exercise, no matter what your gem is, this is a spiritual gift that's available for anyone who wants to receive it. This gift helps to motivate people. This gift helps to encourage people to keep going, to persist. This gift right here, if you walk out of this event with only this one purpose, to encourage all human beings wherever it is that you go, you will quickly become the most popular person around you. You will, quickly. Why? People gravitate towards life speakers, life givers. All humans gravitate to those who edify and encourage. I suck at it so bad that it is written in my bathroom, as long as it is still today, encourage one another. As long as it is still today, encourage one another and build one another up. It is something that most of us do not do. But if this is a strategy that you choose to implement and use, you are going to rise very, 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 very quickly. Let edification come off your lips daily. Let encouragement come off your lips daily. Emeralds, listen to me. You suck at this skill. You do. I know it personally, and I'm going to tell you why. Because your standard for giving any appreciation is the Messiah. Mona, you are laughing too hard on that one. Our standard is if you are perfect, you deserve appreciation and encouragement, which is straight up pride and ego. Because the Messiah himself encouraged, accepted, and loved the prostitutes, the whores, the adulteresses, the tax collectors, the liars, and the cheaters. So if the perfect one, his standard for appreciating another human being was the filthiest of the filthiest of sinners, who that do you think you are? That if we will not encourage or appreciate unless the job is perfection, then that means you never appreciate and encourage anyone. Because the last time I checked, the Messiah is not on the planet right now. He's dwelling in some people. However, comma, they are still sinners. So, Emeralds, you really need to dive into this. If you leave here with nothing but this, your whole family's going to change. Your office is going to change. You're going to get promoted. You're going to solve problems so much faster. People don't trust Emeralds because of this high standard. And they don't encourage and appreciate people. They constantly have a measuring stick that says, oh, you fell short this much. You fell short. Oh, well. Too bad, so sad. Try again later. Emeralds, where are you? Am I telling the truth? Okay. And this is destructive to your families. It's very destructive to your children. It is very destructive to the marriage. It is very destructive to your financial bottom line. Very destructive. So if there's something to focus on, Emeralds, this is it. Now, sapphires. Don't you think that you're off the hook easy right here, right now? Because you do encourage people. However, you encourage them in sapphire language. And there is a certain personality you don't encourage. She's married to an emerald. That's what's going on right now. That right there is a painful laugh. She just got caught naked. So there, Sapphires, don't, yes, you were born with this gift of encouragement and motivation. However, it's very challenging for you to encourage the emeralds that are around you, who, by the way, live in a prison of holding their own selves up to a perfection line. They do it to themselves first. They do it, they live in that prison themselves first. So guess who needs more encouragement than the Sapphires in your life? Oh, it's okay. That's a tough pill to swallow right there. You can swallow it. Guess who needs more encouragement? The emeralds. More than you think. And they need to hear it in their language in order to receive it.
Thank you for that.
That was worth the whole admission right there. That was worth the whole admission right there. You've been trying so hard, but you're talking the wrong language. Yep. Yep. Okay, so Sapphires encourage an emerald where it matters to them, where it is edifying to them and the way that they receive it. All right? So we're going to write down five things that we appreciated about each person in the group. Remember your name text, kind of give it away as to who they are. You've been sitting with each other for the last 2 days. I hope you know who they are at this point. So I want you, if you choose to stretch yourself in your leadership and your maturity, I want you to attempt to write down in the language in which the person will receive it versus in your own language. Okay? Write it in the language of the way the person will receive it versus just your own. If you're not ready to do that, and that's like too much for your head, that's okay. Just write down five things that you appreciate about each person in your group. You have 2 minutes to do so. I'm pretty sure you'll be able to get it done quicker than you did the last exercise. Okay, so just like yesterday, very, very similarly. Now, this is really important. We've been talking about edification, that whenever you need to confront an issue, you sandwich the confrontation with edification, right? Edification and encouragement is very, very similar, all right? You're speaking life into somebody. I would be dead without the people that have done that to me. One being JP, two being my husband, Mona McGrady, Ed Negrelli. These people have spoken, and they are everyday average people. It's everyday average people. You don't have to be someone special to say something encouraging to someone that makes a difference in their life. Did you hear me? It's just everyday average people speaking something, speaking hope into another person, all right? It's so very powerful. And it's, we change lives one life at a time. One life at a time, we make a difference, okay? So just like yesterday, except that you're going to have 2 minutes each to share what you've written. So person number one, raise your hand. You're going first. You're going to be the first receiver. Okay, so person number two is the first giver. Person, there's going to be a bell. Please stick to the bells. Please stick to the bells. So person number two has 2 minutes to share. Just like yesterday, you can choose someone in the group that's going to scribe, right, what is being said, or you can choose to write it yourself. And what will you say when these words of encouragement come to you? Huh? Hello? Thank you. I received that. Thank you. I received that. Okay. I used to be the person who could not receive a compliment ever. I was the person that deflected all compliments. Couldn't receive them. That was a condition of my heart at that time that I did not believe there was anything good in me. I believed that I deserved to die. So how, and that anyone said anything good to me, I just deflected it right away, would not receive it, put it down, justify it in my head. I just couldn't receive it. That's not the case today, thank God. I can receive it. Still not 100% easy, but I can receive it. Okay, so person number one, you're the first receiver. Person number two, you're the first giver. Please follow the bells, and we'll be done with this in 8 minutes. There are some of you that didn't follow the bells. Which of you groups are done? You didn't follow the bells. Okay, so which groups are not done? Which person are you on? You have one more, exactly. You're following directions. The ones that you got ahead of the bells, now turn your sheet over and answer the questions. And now what you will do is you will use the bell to each share for 2 minutes each what you learned out of the experience. So take 2 minutes to answer the questions, and then on the next bell, you go ahead and start working through. The rest of you, continue with the bells, please. We are done. Should be done. Okay. Did you enjoy that last exercise? Much better than the other one, I'm sure. Now, there's questions on the back of your form. There's only six questions. Yeah, six questions. Those are really important questions that I feel like you should answer, maybe on your dinner break. Everything that you and I have talked about today has everything to do with building teams and leadership. Developing leadership happens through encouragement and confronting tough issues. That pretty much is the formula. Well, recruit them, first of all, and as you have them, you want to encourage any little progress that you see that they're doing, and when there are issues that come up that need to be confronted, you have those tough conversations with, again, the objective of... I'm so sorry, there were like 10 of you that knew the answer to that. I must be failing miserably at my job right now. What is the objective of the conversation?
Restoration.
They got it. It's restoration, all right? And team, for some of you, is building your family. In fact, if you have a family, that better be your number one primary goal is to build team. Your children, you want to raise up to be leaders, independent thinkers, children that have awesome skill sets of dealing with people and managing problems. When I went Facebook Live, I went over and I pointed out the teenagers that were in the room, especially the two gorgeous ones from Latvia, and of course the other three gorgeous ones from, well, I guess, Elena, you're not a teenager anymore. Anyway, but I pointed that out, like, wow, what a skill to learn for teenagers, of being able to confront issues and learning the skill of keeping the crap outside of them, right, and not getting all emotionally engaged with it. I mean, I cannot imagine where all of us would be if we had that skill set going through school, right? There'd have been, we would have had maturity, number one, and not have done a lot of things that we wished we never did. So anyway, so you're building two teams. Minimally, some of you are building your home front team. And without your home front team being healthy and strong and intimate and loyal, you won't be able to build wealth as strong, quick, or effectively. When there's problems at home, it creates problems at work as well. So today and yesterday, the combination of these two has really been about building team, recruiting the right team, and developing that team, developing leadership, and developing yourself into that leadership role. So you've learned some pretty powerful skills. And then, of course, this morning with Hans, with all the wealth conversation, as well as kind of the forecast of what's happening with our countries right now around the world and how we need to safeguard ourselves. I think today's been a pretty impactful day. We are going to take a dinner break. Before we go to dinner, I want to invite you to be a part of our team. Everything we teach you is everything that we do in our office and everything that I do at home. I am 100% not perfect in any of it. I have to practice it just as you are going to have to practice it. We are a flawed team, no question. Why? Because we're all human. But I'll tell you what, we have a pretty awesome team. I'm really, really proud of our home front team. My husband Hans is the leader of that team. Our five kids, our grandkids. I couldn't ask for a better set of kids, and I could not ask for a better husband. And I couldn't ask for a better leader to follow and who he is also as a father. And again, that doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we have it all together. We make mistakes constantly, but we are a team. And I'm really grateful that Hans and I, because of these types of events that we've been through our entire adult lives, we implemented all this into our family. And I know that it helped to raise the maturity in our kids and the incredible individuals that they are today who make mistakes, who have perceptions of their childhood, who are learning how to grow up themselves, learning how to find their own legs and walk on them as adults. But I'm really, really blessed by who they are, their character, their hearts, their ability to see things that most people in their generation cannot see. They absolutely cannot see. I'm also very proud of the team that we have in our office, and the many offices and different types of companies that we have. I'm really grateful for every single one of them, because they do their very best. They have a heart to want to do their best. And we are about changing one life at a time, just one life at a time. And that young man over there, when we were talking about appreciation and encouragement, right when you said what you said, like, man, you needed to hear that. That was worth the admission. I can go home now. I've been trying so hard to encourage an emerald, and I just realized I've been encouraging them in my gem instead of their own. And right when I came up here, man, I lost it. And I just said, that's one life at a time. Because that's not just your life that changes and the pressure coming off you, but also now you know how to sow life into someone that you love very passionately and deeply and know how to hit the mark. Now, that, so it's not just the two of you, but it's if there's kids involved, right? And then who else you have influence over. So it's the one life at a time that impacts the other lives that are around him, his center of influence. If he goes to church, you know what I mean, wherever it is that he works as the head of the house, no longer having that pressure of failing, feeling like he's failing and he's missing the mark continuously. But now he had, I believe, his God teach him his wife. Just in that one moment, you know, it just says Hans. I mean, Hans came to a place 3.5-4 years ago and said, I don't know this woman I've been living with all these years. Please teach me her. I don't even know myself. Please teach me and teach me how to lead more effectively. So we would love for you to join our team. And our team wears a jersey. And that jersey is something that we decide to wear proud. In fact, we wear it every Friday in our office. We wear that jersey and wear it proud. And that jersey, this time, for the first time ever, is a beautiful... that should get some attention. Jen, I need to know where to point people in the shirt's direction. Say what? Does it glow in the dark? I don't know. You can find out. Anyway, it says, Creating a Dynasty 2017, Los Angeles, California, and the message on the back is more important, and that is for the people that will be seeing it, which is an invitation. Destiny calls you. Destiny calls you, DannyJohnson.com. So you really are. You are part of our team. You really are the warriors out there in the marketplace. You are really the ones that are taking dominion out there every single day. You're really the ones that are representatives of your families. You really are the ones that are making a difference every single day. It's not just us. It's not just me. I do so little compared to what you do every single day in the lives that you have. So here on the screen is a diagram to show you where your sizes are. What?
Handout team, head outside, please.
The handout team, head outside.
Thanks.
Handout team's going to head outside for, I don't know why, but she said so. Anyway, so...
we need the t-shirts.
The t-shirts are going to help pass out the t-shirts. Okay, so the diagram you can see, here's the stage, right? Okay, so there's your sizes.
So extra large and 2X through 4X are going to go through the door closest to the stage.
Wait, can y'all time you out right now?
Yeah.
This is so funny. Jen was having a hard time finding one particular size, and it happened to be the 3Xs. And I went, wow, we don't have a lot of those anymore. Y'all have lost weight. People have gotten smaller. We know based on the shirts that we have to order. And I was like, wow. I mean, there was a time. I was like, whoa. There was a time where there was a few that we didn't have a shirt for them because of their health issues. But this is amazing. Y'all are working on, how many of you are working on losing weight and getting yourselves in shape? It is actually showing, meaning I can see it. I can see it. It's showing up in you when I'm seeing you again. It's pretty awesome. Anyway, so Chad, go ahead.
Okay, so those of you that still are 2X through 4X and XL, and it's because you were ripped like an absolute, you know, Adonis, and I totally get that. You're going to go through the door closest to the stage.
Right there.
Mediums and large, you're going to go through the second door. And small and youth and our petite ones, you're going to go through the door furthest back.
When you exit, you go to the right if you exit out that door. And this is a small... Who's a small? You're welcome. So anyway, okay, so this next... we're going to take a dinner break. And this next session is totally optional. If you want this next hour with Hans of understanding marketing the internet, you'll be here. If you are not interested in marketing and the internet, go to bed. Go to bed. We start tomorrow morning at 9:30 sharp. We have another financial teaching. Hold on. We start tomorrow morning at 9:30 sharp right here with Toby Mathis. So it's going to be another about wealth creation and wealth development and legacy from a different perspective than Hans. So it's going to build on the things that Hans talked about this morning. And then tomorrow afternoon, so exciting. Actually, tomorrow after Toby, he'll be here for 90 minutes. After Toby, then I'll come on and we are going to start designing your new life. So we're going to start with... Yep, you're going to start with the design of your new life. We're going to have 3 hours together of doing this. So you're going to come up with your own personal design after you've been here. And First Steps, it's like you're defining wealth for you. You're defining success for you. Now we're going to get that on paper. So we're going to take the time to put it on paper. And then we're going to show you how to optimize your time. How do I take that list of things that I want to do and how do I accomplish it? So you're going to design how you'll live out your timeline each and every day on a monthly basis and then a yearly basis, okay? So you're going to walk out of here with a plan that works, that took me from 100 hours a week down to 20 hours a week. And that's what we're going to work on tomorrow, okay? So you're going to leave here with a final copy of your life for you. Okay, next, you're going to have in your account manager two scripts. One is called Disarming Dissension. The other one is the script that I gave you with my mouth. We have it all printed out. It's going to end up in your account manager at DannyJohnson.com, okay? There's a reason why I did not pass those out to you, and there's a reason for it. You retain less when you're watching PowerPoints. You retain less if you have a script in front of you and I'm just talking about it. But when you have to aggressively write it down, you retain it more. Do you understand? So that's why I didn't just pass the script to you and say, go do it. No, you have to own it. You're taking ownership of it when you're writing this thing down and it hits a different part of your brain versus I just pass this thing to you. You get lazy when you get it like that. So now you'll have the final copy that fills in your blanks on your notes. And that'll be in your account manager, okay? There'll be two different scripts that are in there. Third and final, which we had them leave, so that we can't do that now. I'm going to get this to you as well. It's called My Favorite Things. I want you to get to know you a little better and what are your favorite things. But another thing that's a strategy that we use in our office is finding out the favorite things of our team, finding out the favorite things of my family, so that if I want to do something a little special, and it's a dollar special, something for a buck, it's finding out what their favorite candy bar is. Whenever we do birthdays and things like that, we use this form to customize a birthday for somebody or an anniversary for somebody. We find out what's most important to those people and we serve them with what matters to them. So this sheet even has like, what's your favorite color, candy, drink or beverage, food, flower, gift certificate, the way that you de-stress yourself. You have this information on the people you work with and the people you live with. You're going to hit the mark every single time. And I think it's good to fill it out every once in a while because people change, especially sapphires. You know what I mean? Especially sapphires. They change the flavor of the drink, the candy, the whatever, like every month. So they're, do you know what I mean? Their favorite color. Do you know what I mean? So those things change all the time. So if you have a sapphire, you might want to, you know, give this to them like, you know, once every 3 months, once a quarter. Really helps you to serve somebody really, really well. Do it with your clients. Do it with your prospects. You can do it with your family members. Do it with everybody. So this also is going to be in your account manager, all right, so that you can print it, okay? But we have a copy here for you. We'll get that to them tomorrow. We'll pass it out to you tomorrow. We'll have them on your seats, and I want you to fill it out. You'll be surprised what you get to learn about you. Yeah, you'll be surprised what you get to learn about you, all right? All right, cool. So what time are we going to start? How much time do you need for a dinner break? Hour and a half? Okay, I don't think an hour is enough time. So who says an hour and 15? Who says an hour and a half? All right, that means you're going to be here at 8? No, 8:25. Cheaters. 8:25. I'll see you at 8:25. Oh, wear your t-shirts tomorrow. Wear your jersey tomorrow.